What do I want to say? What do I hope?
He's got a podcast.
He's got a. Okay,
He's got. It sounds like I'm gonna sneeze.
He's got a.
Oh, excuse me.
Cole, do you have a Vinnie Mac impression?
I don't.
Okay, because that was just the intro to this brand new wrestling podcast from a website you've never heard of that we're launching called PotatoBumps.com, but you're listening to this on HorribleNight.com. So I'm Justin Lacey, joined by another group of video gamers that like wrestling, the most original idea on the internet. we've got Cole Monroe. Say hi, Cole.
Hello.
Josh Lee is here to hopefully offer different opinions, because I've heard complaints that Cole and I just agree on everything. So we invited
there goes
the, third
the PG crowd.
Yeah. We thought we'd kick this off with kind of a recap of our year back into wrestling, because last year about this time, WrestleMania 30... and a little bit before that, the WWE Network debuted, and I don't know, got us talking about wrestling on a regular basis. And so we want to hand out some awards from our year back in wrestling and kind of use WrestleMania as that tentpole. So tonight we're going to run through the full pay-per-view, WWE pay-per-view highlights and lowlights, as well as NXT, and then we've got some awards to hand out. Does that sound pretty good? What else should we do?
That's a I like lot it. Of wrestling.
Okay.
That's yeah. That's a whole hell of a lot to cover.
No, I'm sure it'll take 30 minutes.
Please don't add to the list.
Yeah. So yeah, we don't have our list of 40 awards like on our crazy horrible night year. So wrestling, like I said, let's just kick it off with the. I feel like this is the show that made us stick around, because I had seen, I think this was my sixth WrestleMania 30, ended up being a pretty good show. Like, hey, Josh, do you want to get together and watch this on a monthly basis? Like, that doesn't sound like a terrible idea anymore.
That's what kicked it off.
Yeah, I mean, what really stood out for me, and I think everybody, obviously, was not just the Daniel Bryan title run, but just... I can't remember WrestleMania where they told a story from beginning to end with having him open the show with Triple H and then having such a great match with Orton and Batista. Like, that, it just bookended the show, like, into an amazing moment. It was great.
And the how that came about, too, right? Because a few months earlier, there was with Batista coming back and all that, and just the terrible backlash, and it's like, oh, look, they... It seemed to us like they were actually adapting to poor choices, I think. Like, you know,
a little bit of listening to the fans.
Yeah, I think that's true, because I mean, if you go back to SummerSlam of 2013, like, I think it was SummerSlam where Daniel Bryan beat John Cena and then got cashed in on or something like that by Randy Orton. And then the fans were just like, hell no. Like, started like rising up and getting behind that guy, and then all of a sudden, you know, on the road to WrestleMania, they put him with the Wyatts.
Yeah.
And it's like, if they're doing this on purpose,
they're trolls, man.
Yeah, that is crazy. That's so crazy. I don't think that would ever be possible. Well, just then to kind of like misstep every single way of what the fans actually wanted. And then, you know, with CM Punk leaving and all that stuff, it just kind of made it.
I mean, it's kind of out there, perfectly. But just going back to read what their original plan was, even with CM Punk being around, like, what, it was CM Punk, Triple H? Was that supposed to be? And then...
And Batista winning the title, right?
Yeah, over Orton. Babyface Batista winning. That's the... I mean, you got to give him some... You can't predict the crowd every time to know who's going to be your big baby face, but man, I don't know how they misread the Batista stuff so poorly. But I mean, for course corrections,
Oh yeah, it was
this phenomenal. Is pretty fantastic because the show top to bottom was really entertaining. I mean, I look back at this now. Let's see, we had the Shield versus New Age Outlaws. Who cares?
But they, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I guess.
So then we had the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and I still have hopes for Cesaro, but that was the high point. It's like they're gonna push Cesaro next.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was cool.
It was incredible.
And then letting him like literally lift Big Show over. You know, anything highlighting Cesaro's strengths, cool. I don't remember. I didn't like the psychology of the Cena Wyatt feud in general, and but their matches were always okay. So this was the first of the three.
Cena Wyatt. The whole storyline was: hey, Cena's career is over. Has he made an impact?
It's oh like, yeah, it was the leg. It was protecting the legacy, right?
Right, because like, that skipped us off.
Yeah, how are you going to get rid of that legacy?
Because they hadn't done the Wyatt's going to bring out the monster in Cena. I think that was the plot for the next couple. So, yeah. But yeah, but good. Thanks for putting Bray Wyatt over at WrestleMania and Cena.
Yep.
Yeah. What was the point?
And then Undertaker died.
Yeah. So
Undertaker was murdered.
So it's funny, like, because that is just, you know, that is a legendary moment now, is we all thought like the ref kind of messed up like on the count.
Yeah.
And nobody saw it coming. And then the crowd reactions were just amazing. But the worst part about it is that the match was so bad. Cause this is what planted the seed for me, like hating Lesnar even more. Cause I was bored that he was in the match at this point. And then whatever happened to Taker, whether it was him being in shape or the concussion he got in the match, that match just did not flow.
No,
it was the worst Undertaker match in like a decade.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I agree. But the ending was
how much does that matter?
Match was that those we're still those crowd reactions they still play. They've been showing him on TV recently, and the Raw on the promos for the upcoming match between him and Bray, and it's hilarious. Or I'm sorry, they've shown up for the Brock Lesnar stuff, but yeah, hilarious.
And I don't mean to slight the Divas in general, but I was not impressed with what they did with them in most of the pay per views. But so they also had a Divas Invitational. So AJ Lee. that took us. Next up was Extreme Rules. So this would be my first non WrestleMania pay per view. Didn't really know what to expect here. Looking at this list, this is kind of good.
I was going to say the only thing that really stands out to me was that Shield Evolution match, which was pretty incredible. With
that was real good.
And stuff.
So that's the Rollins off the top, not off the balcony thing, right?
Yeah.
Man, Rollins.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
That match, I thought it flowed real well. They just went the way they took it outside was cool. And they're, you know, fighting all the way down those stairs and stuff. Like, it was, I thought that match was really fun.
Yep. Yeah.
To me, that was also when I kind of around when I first started seeing the Shield, actually watching them too. I kind of came into that late, but they are really fired on all cylinders, I thought.
Yeah. I mean,
they're having some really good matches on Raw.
I remember them at the previous WrestleMania and not knowing who they were. And then they have them fighting the New Age Outlaws at WrestleMania 30. But this was when they started getting behind the Shield, and all their fights with Evolution were pretty fucking awesome. So Wyatt and Cena are in a cage match, and they finally let Wyatt win by having a demon kid sing to John Cena.
So bad.
But I did part of the cage match I did like was how they worked the Wyatt family into it, with them on the outside just climbing up to prevent Cena from escaping. Like they had some fun with that, and the match was okay. I mean, all of the Wyatt Cena matches were okay. They just and then Paige defended the title for the first time, because she in the meantime she beat AJ Lee the night after WrestleMania. So excited to see Paige in the mix. Don't remember the Tamina Snuka match though. And then this might be one of the worst main events of the year. Just the Daniel Bryan Kane match. Like, so was he already injured at this point and they knew that, and they have him fight Kane to be safe, or why do they have Kane in the title hunt? Like,
that's Kane's last singles main event, right? Ever?
I think so.
I mean, it has. There's no way. He's just bad. And
maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what it was for him. Is just here's your last.
And he had
a relationship with.
Right.
Did people care? Like, did people really like?
No.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the team Hell No, like that split.
No, they were over. They were a pretty big deal.
Did they need the encore match or whatever the fuck that was? I mean, there was a forklift. No, I remember there was a forklift.
This was like the fourth or fifth one. Oh, wow. That's why it was like so surprising. It was just like they had already done their encore match from the team Hell No.
But was Brian on his way out at that point? Did they know he was injured and?
I mean, I don't know. You would think so, but then he had all that time off. Oh no, this was before he got injured because he got married and then his dad passed away.
Never mind. Okay. I'm more of an asshole. They had to do something, and it was more of his dad's stuff. Yeah, that he couldn't. They just had to throw something. Okay, that is the safe match to do at that point. But you don't main event that. I mean,
well,
it's
but
the title.
He had the title. That's
and
the only problem.
Daniel Bryan, yeah. Okay.
But,
all right. That was
a
weird show.
It didn't have to be Kane, but whatever. It just would. I think that match would have redeemed itself if Daniel Bryan had actually impaled Kane with the forklift or something. And he died.
Come back from this, Kane.
Right. Kayfabe. I'm not going to actually die. But
Other matches that happened, Cesaro, RVD, and Jack Swagger, that was a thing.
Don't remember.
I think this was Rusev's first pay-per-view. I think it sounds like he debuted. Yeah.
Hang on. That match with Cesaro, Van Damme, and Swagger, is that the one where Swagger first did the the suplex on the out, where he puts the guy on the outside of the ropes and he's on the inside?
It may be. Yeah, it might be.
I remember him doing that to Jack Swagger. I don't remember if it was in this match or not, but I remember being really excited about it.
I remember being bored with Rob Van Damme at this point and then disappointed that he stuck around for a couple more months.
He's just at half speed.
But was that that must have been the split of the Real Americans, though, too, right? Like around that point, if he's fighting Jack Swagger, so.
Well, yeah, but they wouldn't throw RVD in just because. Yeah,
I don't remember
if
what
that
was
going
on there. Then Rusev's pay-per-view debut, it looks like, against R-Truth and Xavier Woods was his first feud. So,
I'm pretty sure he murdered them. So.
Yeah, that seems to be the thing to do. So, but I was Extreme Rules was fun. Like as my I remember having a good time with that. And I think Payback was the first disappointing one. Let's see how this ran down. Oh, well, they opened the show with Sheamus. So Sheamus over Cesaro for the U.S. title. They should have good matches, and they have had good matches. Like, regardless, I know we're all huge Sheamus fans, but this is where you don't really know what they're doing with Cesaro at this point. So,
was he with Heyman at that point?
Yes. Yeah, he was a Paul Heyman guy. Yeah.
Yep.
Man, they didn't think that one through either.
And he got that really dumb entrance music.
The siren.
With a siren.
It's just so bad.
Yeah.
It's crazy that with what they did with Cesaro, you know, putting Heyman with him, thinking that it would make him this instant heel when he was almost becoming a babyface, just kind of stopped him dead in his tracks. But now that they have kind of went that way with Brock Lesnar based on, I guess, who he's fighting and Heyman's promos alone. So it might have worked.
But yeah, but I think they just discovered that
they were forcing him to be a heel and not just embrace.
That was the problem. Yeah.
He had momentum already.
He had momentum as a babyface. And then they made us. Then they made him a heel and didn't do anything with the heel character. And then I realized Paul Heyman doesn't have enough time to do both Cesaro and Lesnar.
When they should have just left Cesaro as his, instead of trying to make him be a heel, you can put Heyman with him, but like embrace the babyface role.
But yeah. He didn't need Heyman at that point.
No, he didn't need him at all. Because
he was way over.
Yeah.
He was super over. And then
but if you have to do it, I'm saying embrace the Paul Heyman's just an advocate. He can have good guys and bad guys.
Yeah, but.
Sort of, yeah. I guess, yeah.
I mean, Brock Lesnar's a good guy right now.
Yeah. I love, that's one of my favorite things, is he's more over than, like, everyone.
He's kind of like the Punisher. Like, he's a terrible murderer, but he's killing the bad guys, so...
He's main roster Kevin Owens. With Alex Riley, anyway.
This is in the middle of a lot of our Rybacksel Cody... I think this is the farewell to Cody Rhodes. This is as Cody just doesn't feel like he's living up to his tag team with Goldust there. The Battle of the Hosses with Rusev and Big E. I remember liking this first match.
Yeah, that spear that Big E did
off
the ring apron was pretty insane.
That was good.
And this is when Big E kind of failed. Like, they were trying to push him and he never did anything with it.
And they rematched the next one, right? So
that was
I don't know, not necessarily a great feud, but they had some good moments in those matches.
Bad News Barrett, Rob Van Dam again. Yeah. Although this is when I started liking Bad News Barrett. So
yeah, we were real high on him during this time.
And then that's the theme. As soon as we get high on somebody, they get injured. So, and then they had the segment where Brie quits the WWE. So Daniel Bryan can stay the champ. They start improvising there. Last man standing match, the rubber match with Cena and Wyatt. This is the one where Cena buried him in equipment cases.
Yep.
which was a decent spot. Like, again, I think this is probably my favorite of the three matches, but it was also just frustrating. I was like, okay, you're going to do a best of series. You made Wyatt lose at WrestleMania. Surely you're gonna push him a little bit forward. But with, I guess they had to maybe make Cena look good since Bryan was backing out and they were making their SummerSlam plans at this point. I don't know. It was just weird booking.
I think around this time is when I realized that the AA is a great way to gently place somebody onto an elevated surface. Because he did it so many times with gurneys and like the equipment cases, and he put him on some tables and stuff. He did it to, it was like with Wyatt and his other, you know, feuds with the Authority and stuff. Like, it looks really gentle the way they just kind of, because he just rolls him onto it. Like they,
the booking for that series is so weird. Like, why make the heel lose the first match? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the booking. I'm honestly hoping that their SummerSlam plans kind of messed it up. Like, if Bryan is still champ, they let Cena lose to Wyatt, but because they know they got to get behind Cena again coming up. That's my only thinking now, looking at the bigger picture. At the time, I was just like, what? Okay, then what was the point of this? Like, and also my fear of. So I realized I've missed pretty much all of Cena's career. Like when I took my decade break from wrestling. But I'd only heard the horror stories about how he's booked, and I was like, oh, well, it looks like this is, you know, this is what they always do. They always let Cena win, and it kind of didn't bode well for the rest of the year. So I was worried at this point, but it didn't matter because we forgot about everything else. So there's a Paige, Alicia Fox match, but then we had another Shield, awesome Shield Evolution match. This was the elimination match where they have to pin everybody. And what was this? They had kendo sticks to Reigns. This is Rollins off the set, like by the Titantron stuff.
This is Batista's hilarious pants, right?
Blue Tista. Yeah. I don't think was the crowd Blue Tista ing during that show?
I believe so.
Or was it the next night? So
I think there was a little chance.
I'm putting that in my fan moments here, but and then the next night they were actually in Indianapolis for Raw, so Josh and I got to go and see the end of the Shield. So this was leading up to Plan B and Rollins' turn, and so do we say the Extreme Rules match is the standout match, but this match was still pretty awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, that's how I felt about it. I don't remember a lot of the. I remember the one spot with, you know, Rollins. I mean, Rollins always had the fun. He always did the fun stuff. So, but their Extreme Rules match, I just remember being in general pretty awesome. But I kind of like to actually go back and watch both those again.
Yeah. Oh man, so high on the shield. So high on the shield.
and man, Triple H, every time he showed up for a match last year or in the last 12 months, whatever, in the 2014-2015 season, he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, that dude was selling, and he was, like, his promos and stuff leading up were great. He looked really good, and it just made me want more, which is probably exactly, you know, it's perfect that way.
No, they've done well with they've done well with Trips this year, I think.
Yeah.
So that took us to Money in the Bank, which was a weird Money in the Bank because they had two ladder matches, one for Money in the Bank briefcase and one for the vacant WWE title now. Usos and Wyatt family, though, they started having some serious battles, and this is when, oh shit, Luke Harper is legit, and these athletic big men are pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, but it's the Usos.
But this is, yes, I mean,
despite that fact, yes, that was the Wyatt family was very entertaining.
But they're fun fodder for the Wyatts to throw around. But they still never. I don't think they ever let the Wyatts win at a pay per view. Unfortunately, that was the weird part. Like I think they won. So they did a lot of with the tag teams. They do a lot of a new challenger will just suddenly beat the champs without the title being on the line, so they can become the contenders. But they never let the Wyatts go over, which was kind of weird. But I remember that match being awesome. So, then Paige over Naomi. So Paige is the champ, and they do nothing with those feuds. And the there was remember we've got these two ladder matches, and like all of our superstars are in these matches. So we have another spot to fill, and Adam Rose just debuted. So Adam Rose, Damian Sandow was a match at a pay-per-view this year. Wow. Sandow was Paul Revere.
The elbow is coming.
And this is why there's like one good reason why I'm okay. I was totally okay with this. And that's Damian Sandow trolled so well all year long on Raw.
Yep.
Like every week he was just shit. He was just shitting on the fans wherever they went. It was so good. Yeah, right. The Lance Stevenson thing was funny. And then and he did Magneto. Like, that was hilarious. I think he was a wizard at one point. I don't know.
Sure.
Anyway, so I was totally okay with Paul Revere. Yes, elbow is coming. Yeah. It's awesome.
Oh, man. The rest of this card, it's just they threw everybody into these ladder matches. But then, so middle of the show was the Money in the Bank ladder match. So, looks like Kane interfered to stop Ambrose at the end. It's so Rollins could win over. We got Ziggler, Swagger, Kofi, and RVD. They should have given it to Kofi. It's pretty much no. man, what?
Did Kofi do anything? Really?
Yeah, there was awesome a there was ladder. A. I, no, never mind. That was in the Battle Royal. Never mind. I was thinking he had a spot in the battle on the giant Battle Royal with like Cesaro hanging onto his hair or something like that. But no, I don't remember him doing a big ladder spot. But I remember the ladder match being pretty good. Like it was probably better than the title one, if I remember right.
I feel like somebody dove through the ladder at some point during that match.
Yeah. And Ambrose almost fell out of the ring at one point, but he bounced back and did something. Clothesline, probably.
And then something happened.
Yeah.
And then some other stuff.
More Stardust, Goldust, Ryback, so, Rusev, Big E rematch. This was kind of when I think everybody was done with Big E. Okay. God, you think man. Adam Rose, Damian Sandow would be their worst match on the card. So this is... Oh, man. So... We're all coming down after that great Rusev Big E match, like the high point. So we got a cool off a little bit before this WWE title match. Is that the booking? Fandango needs to ref between Layla and Summer Rae, so that's, what, a Total Divas match that I never understood the plotline for, and...
That's enough time for that. Let's just move on to the title match.
Everyone needs to go to the bathroom at some point during these pay-per-views. They're like 3.5 hours long.
And when we were watching...
last merchandise before the main event.
That's right.
I get, yeah. I mean, Summer Rae was good in NXT, right? I'm not imagining that. Like, she was...
I don't know if she was.
Okay, all right. But what the... Oh, man. That was gross. And then we had our WWE title ladder match. Cena, Orton, Kane, Sheamus, Roman Reigns, Del Rio, Bray Wyatt, and Cesaro. That's actually a pretty decent man.
And look at Reigns, already in the main event.
So I forgot that. Like, they're throwing him in there, and you don't really notice him. You're like, oh, we all know the push is coming, but it feels like more natural and more gradual at this point. Like, they're building up stuff with Reigns. Like,
what was the build-up on Raw leading up to that? I don't recall how they were pushing him at that point.
They weren't really, but they just threw him in there. Like,
oh, they weren't. They just broke up. So
yeah. So there wasn't really a
well, it's because Seth Rollins and Ambrose kind of paired off and were feuding, and Reigns was just kind of out there, so they had to do something with him.
And they're trying to build up, like, a Reigns Triple H stuff at some point, Reigns Orton, because I believe there were also spots where Cena and Reigns were the only two in the ring, and they would just kind of stare each other down for a little bit and then do a little bit of offense.
That could have been the next month too.
You're right. So I think this was just his introduction into the main event as a solo. Yeah. Like, I don't think it was anything more than that. So, that took us to Battleground. Usos, Wyatt family, AJ Lee comes back to beat Paige. No, she's already the champ, so I think after Money in the Bank, AJ Lee did the same thing to Paige that Paige did to her on Raw, which is trick her into a match and beat her really quickly. So
yeah, because she took a break there, right?
Yep. And then, so you have all this hype, like, AJ Lee and Paige matches should be great. None of them were memorable or all that good, unfortunately. So, not to cast a big to generalize, but I was really frustrated by that feud the entire time, because it was like they couldn't decide what to do with Paige's character.
I know,
and then they just made them both crazy, which is such a cop out.
And they're like decent enough in the ring, so it's like you don't need to get real dumb with it, but
just, they both want the title.
What am I saying? This is
they're still figuring out how to write stories for the Divas, that's for sure. Rusev Jack Swagger, which I didn't appreciate the time, but on Cage side, the guy's been kind of writing it up of he just hopes that Swagger just always continues to go after Rusev and loses every time, which I can get behind. I think this first one was a decent match, played up. Rusev's really good at, like, or maybe it's just a Jack Swagger thing with his ankle lock, but just, I remember Rusev really selling that ankle injury, and, like, they did,
yeah.
It was a good wrestling match. So, that was the first time I remember liking Swagger, too, because the effort was appreciated. But, Seth Rollins beat Dean Ambrose by forfeit because Triple H banned Ambrose from the building. And then he showed up and they beat up each other a little bit. So how about that should have been your main event and they push it off for a month? Like,
well, wasn't he filming a movie at that time?
Yeah.
Ambrose.
Oh, that's right. That's when he was.
No.
What's the name of that film? What's the movie?
Yeah. Condemned?
Sure.
Isn't
Condemned,
that?
Condemned, yeah. No, wait. That's Stone Cold's movie, isn't it?
Condemned 2.
Well, man, what a weird... I mean, they had that planned ahead of time, but, like, Ambrose was on the rise, and, yeah. But it actually ended up being... It was frustrating, but it ended up being effective, I think, like, building up their match, so...
Well, it's kind of almost like the... Not too... That was more than what I'm about to say, but, like, to an extent with the Lana thing, like, she's filming a movie, so she's been off TV.
Yeah. Rusev's mad at her. It's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like, come on. Like, she could be there to help build this match even bigger.
Yeah, and timing's bad.
Yeah.
And then another awkward Bray Wyatt feud with Chris Jericho, and Jericho won that match. Their matches never lived up to the billing either, unfortunately. Like, they're never bad, but it's like I wanted greatness from all of Wyatt's stuff, and it just wasn't there.
The dark match we saw in Las Vegas is pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
When those two faced off.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, Jericho's since said, like, he doesn't want to do TV anymore for WWE. Yeah. Like, he likes the house shows and can have more fun with that stuff, so.
I feel like his return there had pretty lukewarm reception.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And I remember, I like Chris Jericho, but I just remember, like, not really giving a damn about this. But the thing I remember from his return wasn't like this feud here. It was at some point, I think in the middle of this feud or after Bray beats him up and he's like backstage hanging out, like nursing some wounds. And then like, what did it like Randy Orton come in and beat him up for no reason? Like throw him into a table or something.
I thought that was Bray that threw him into the table.
There was somebody else came in at some point and like hit him. And
I remember the bump looking kind of bad too. Like, I think we've all just all, like, we all like Jericho, but we all know the formula, too. Like, it's, he's going to come back to put over a new talent, and the transparency of that over, after the Cena stuff was just, like, you know.
I just don't like when they can make guys look real weak.
Yeah.
Just, like, you know, like, if there's no, and never at any point do I, you know, I feel like certain guys, at least now, when they bring them in, that they're going to have do anything like hurt anyone or have any like real meaningful offense in any way or something. Yep. And that sucks. Like they did that with Jericho.
Then they had a big battle royal for the vacant Intercontinental titles because Bad News Barrett was injured. Ziggler should have won. But he was last eliminated by The Miz, who did the whole hide under the ring thing. So, but it was, I think it was The Miz's comeback, and That was some good heel heat for The Miz. So, yeah. Like, I liked the story there. That was fine. Mm-hmm. Fatal four-way for the title with Cena, Kane, Reigns, and Orton. That was totally the building Reigns and Cena a little bit. And at this point, I have hope. Like, we've got a full year to work with Reigns. Like, they're building them along slowly. It's fine, and we all knew at this point that Cena's going on to fight Lesnar at SummerSlam, but we'll start to do the transition from Cena to Reigns after SummerSlam. It'll be okay. That was where I was at. I don't really remember the match.
Yeah, I don't remember that match at all.
There was a stare down between Cena and Reigns. I think we just zone out anytime Kane's involved. So
I think Reigns did his drop kick on Kane, the one where he's leans on the ropes and goes outside. And
probably. It was an RKO, I think. Somebody kicked out of. Or it wasn't.
Yeah, that probably happened, right? Yep.
They all got their finishers off.
That's right.
All right, let's... for the rest of these, let's just go over what you guys remember, too, rather than me running down the card. But SummerSlam... That was a big deal. I actually flew out to Vegas to watch this with Cole. Seemed like a good dumb excuse to go do that because Raw was in Vegas the next night. So lots of good memories from SummerSlam. What stands out for you guys?
For me, obviously the Ziggler and The Miz. Ziggler finally winning the Intercontinental Championship.
Oh, yeah.
Seemed like he was chasing for a while, or giving up and then getting back and then giving up again.
I remember liking the Ziggler-Miz feud. Like, I thought it was tight.
And I think it was the introduction as Sandow as the stunt double as well, so he was around at that point.
I remember that match being awesome, actually.
Yeah, it was really good. And then... obviously, the Lumberjack match with Rollins and Ambrose, they did some cool, interesting stuff with the Lumberjacks that they really had by using, like, jumping on them and doing stuff like that.
And then just running past them into the crowd for the longest time. Like, it's just like, is this a Lumberjack match? It's just...
Yeah.
Oh, man, Rollins, Ambrose. That was some good times.
And then obviously the 16 Germans on John Cena. Fantastic.
That was
the most satisfying match I've ever seen.
The start of Brock Lesnar's face turn.
I feel like I was on my way down. Like I was cooling off with this whole WWE return to my life. And then they have these moments. I mean, you go back to WrestleMania and it's, oh shit, they get it with Bryan. And that's a really cool story for WrestleMania. And then, you know, the Shield kind of got me through a little bit there. But what, man, they're just going to put Cena over again? Because, I mean, Lesnar's part-time. They can't, you know, they're not going to give him the championship. This, I mean,
yep.
Man, this is going to suck. And not only do they let Lesnar win, he beats his ass as a main event. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
That was awesome. That's my favorite Cena match of all time. Is that one?
But I mean, at the same time, doesn't it give you respect for Cena? Like, I was kind of building that up.
Yeah.
What's best for business for sure.
Hogan didn't do that.
No.
Hogan does not do that. No, and John Cena's never, like, if you go back and look at his pay-per-view matches, he always brings it. They're always decent.
Okay.
Good or great matches.
We're just frustrated with
ability that we don't like.
Yeah, we don't like the character anymore and the booking around that character.
And there is the moment in every one of his matches, as soon as he does the first shoulder tackle, my eyes just roll back into my head. And I just slump and I check out. But that's I don't think that he ever even got a shoulder tackle in this match, which is probably.
Oh yeah, it is totally the shoulder.
Maybe one, but he didn't knock him down.
Okay, so that was cool because for another reason too. This is the moment where you go like, oh shit, they're doing something different with Brock Lesnar. Like this was so good for building him up as this like. This attraction that, you know, for a guy that only rolls in, you know, a few times a year, whatever their schedule, they're going to continue to have him on. Like he needs to look this scary. Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, genuinely, we know that the outcome is decided beforehand or whatever. But we also, you know, we always talk about like how these guys take really, really hard bumps sometimes that people get hurt and whatever. This match looked super dangerous. It had to, on paper even, it had to look bad. Like, Cena signing off on that going like, yeah, let's do it. Like that.
Let me fall on my neck 16 times.
Yeah. Like, props, because he got dumped on his head every single time. I mean, those were rough. Mm-hmm. Like, if you did that to someone in, like, a real fight, they would die. Like, if there was concrete or whatever, not some wood planks and some canvas. Like, that was unbelievable. So, yeah, that was one of my favorite matches.
Let's go, Cena!
Have they added that kid down yet? Has anybody rewatched that? Because I've heard that, like, I mean, that kid may have ruined one of the best matches of all time.
Yeah.
The kid, but at the same time, it's so perfect because for that character of... The little kid's just not going to give up on Cena, but mother of God, get the microphone away from him.
He's sorry, kid. Cena's dead. and was this where Ziggler finally got like where I know there was that Triple H was even talking about it sometimes on Raws where, you know, the crowd was trying to get, they wanted Ziggler to go over and he keeps on just like getting close and losing and all that stuff. Is this the moment where he got the title and kind of kept it for a while?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
Until apparently he loses the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But
he had it for a month.
But I felt like this was
passing it back and forth at that point.
Yeah. The restore some prestige to the title. That was like when that started coming up in conversation again. So, and this was the beginning of the Ziggler push.
That's what I was thinking. Like I felt like around this time is when that was. I just don't remember that. I mean, I remember their matches being good, but.
Well, you guys forgot about the best character of the night, though. Because Stephanie McMahon can wrestle, guys. She can put on a show.
Would this be a good time to talk about how amazing she's been? Because she doesn't really, she's not going to be on the card anywhere else.
No, she's one of my favorite parts of the show. Yeah, she looked great. She's wrestling Brie Bella, which should be just god-awful.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephanie carried the match,
And she hasn't wrestled in 10 years.
Oh my God. And, oh, she looks so good. And I just, I mean, in these matches, like, it's not going to be, I mean, there's some decent spots for them, but, like they're, the storytelling in the match was great. And, even, you know, I hate the Bellas, but the heel turn was really well done with Nikki. And I don't know, just Stephanie's. I remember Stephanie's face when Nikki turned. Like, that's she's so good. She's so good. She's
the best mic worker in wrestling.
And yeah, just I've come around like just on her facial expressions and just like the way she just kind of over exaggerates stuff, and she knows where the camera is, and she's so good, so good.
And gets room to do that because she just like did it this last week with the handing Triple H.
Oh my God, that's the best gift ever!
Oh, that was amazing. Like,
and it was a great callback to when Vince did it, super bloodied too, like WrestleMania 21 or something like that.
I mean, it was such a dumb. I mean, the whole.
If you look at it on the surface, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the whole Brie Bella stuff was just like, and I didn't like that they're pulling Daniel Bryan into that, like, and using that storyline, but it paid off. It paid off really
sex
well
with like a counselor or something.
And that was weird.
Yeah. Oh, that was dumb.
Yeah.
That was one of the, that should be on our worst moments of the year list.
Yeah.
Like that's just gross. We don't need that. Kind
I
of
did
shit.
Like Stephanie getting arrested though. That was, and being in the crowd. So, but I mean,
that was pretty funny.
That was great.
The build up to the match was actually pretty well done.
Yeah. Steph. Match. I still need to buy that shirt.
It was a good feud.
Yeah. Yep.
It was the last good thing Brie Bella did.
Yeah. Well, I'm fine with her being heel. So the anyway. She's just awful. It's just that took us to Night of Champions. So my hopes have been restored in the WWE at this point because we've got our true champion, the champion we all deserve, Brock Lesnar. I didn't even know this. Now we're getting into the pay-per-views. I don't even understand what they are. So Night of Champions. Let's see. The first thing that stood out to me. So this was Reigns is injured like the night before. Like he has his hernia surgery like 48 hours before Night of Champions. So his match with Rollins is also a forfeit. So Rollins wins two pay-per-view matches this year as a forfeit
against his former team too.
And he just,
which kind of, if you look at it, it's like,
oh man, they could have
it more towards the heel. You know, they could have used that against Reigns and Ambrose more than they did.
Yeah.
To make him even slimier.
I have this written down as one of the terrible shows. Remember the Orton. Apparently, Orton and Jericho fought. I don't even know what the plot line was there.
Maybe this is after Orton attacked him backstage for no reason.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's well done.
Because Randy's just mad. He has to take his anger out on someone. It might as well be the guy that he's only going to be there for like 45 days.
So I'm looking through this card. The only good news I can find in this card is
Cesaro Sheamus?
No, is that they let the Dust Brothers win the tag titles.
Oh, yeah. No, that's good.
And I think the Cesaro-Sheamus match was pretty... That was decent. Like it was
What was Cena-Lesnar? I don't even remember it.
That was where Cena...
Rollins
was. Yeah, and it looked like, oh, was Cena winning that match? I don't know. Like,
That never got over on me. Like, so Cena technically won by disqualification... But the title stayed with Lesnar, but I never, like, they were trying to show that momentum of Cena might have been able to win, but I never,
like,
they didn't do a good job with it. And then, but I did like Rollins being an idiot. So, and like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
yeah.
Which had to happen and that was okay, but holy. Yeah. Anything else? I mean, Ziggler. I'm sure the Ziggler-Miz match was fine, but Ziggler lost, so that, like I said, this is not much to feel good about on this show.
This was the biggest missed opportunity, I thought, because this is the time where we thought, like, well, okay, so I remember talking to you guys about this. So it's like, what if Cena wins and then, you know, and then Rollins cashes in? Like, that would be his that would be his moment. Or Lesnar wins, Cena puts him through the ringer, and he's like just completely spent. Rollins cashes in Money in the Bank, and it didn't happen. I thought that was like a huge mistake.
Because we kept kind of expecting Lesnar to walk away. We didn't, like, with the way Lesnar's contract works, nobody really knows. So how many shows has he got left? Are they going to... Because if they do this, they're going to WrestleMania, right? Like,
it's right.
Just, it's so... And then the entire time, like, with that... I mean, the Money in the Bank briefcase is still out there. And they got to use it at some point. So every show since then has been like, okay, Rollins is going to do something with the briefcase. And, anyway, that was kind of lackluster.
Has anyone ever had the briefcase and not used it?
No.
So, I mean, it's going
to
happen.
Well, didn't they also used to do the briefcase at WrestleMania? Like that was kind of the turnover?
That's what the original was before the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. But I think do you have a year until the next Money in the Bank, or is it
I guess, yeah. I mean,
oh, I don't know.
They have a whole pay-per-view for it, so I'd hope that he would need to use it. Unless you have...
I feel like it doesn't go that long, so no one
Or it's wrestling, and maybe they'll let him have multiple briefcases just walking around there. Everyone's got a briefcase. R-Truth's got a briefcase.
And I think only two people have lost when they cashed in. One or two people. Cena being one of them. I think it was Cena and Sandow are the two that lost.
Oh.
Poor Sandow. All right, that takes us to Hell in a Cell. This seemed to be an Attitude Era idea that has gone by the wayside a little bit. Looking at this, what I got. I was surprised in the... So Cesaro, Ziggler open the match. Ziggler wins. But they do the best two or three falls, and Ziggler wins. He wins 2-0. That was the surprise. I remember that match being great, though.
Yeah, it was good.
Surprise. Ziggler, Cesaro can work a good match.
Yeah.
Those guys in the ring, I think, are just really good together. Yeah. Like, man, Ziggler sells Cesaro's shit just like so well, like no one else does, and it just makes him look so strong. I wish they would have had more matches.
What else stood out to you, Cole?
The thing that I remember, like, being kind of shocked at is, like, the fourth match being Cena and Orton, Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah.
We're not worried about a championship, so you're thinking, well, Cena's going to go on the main event. But they had built the Rollins-Ambrose feud from, obviously, when the Shield broke up till this point, and put that in Hell in a Cell as well. So it was quite a surprise when they went on last.
So this was a little bit of a redeeming moment, too. I keep looking through this of like, my ups and downs, and this was a like, oh, no, they get it. I mean, they're putting Rollins-Ambrose in the main event, and Cena's on his way out, and they're listening to us, guys. It's going to be okay. Every time, like, one of these little moments, I'd, like, try to hang my hat on this. Hey, Rusev-Big Show was a match.
I'm just glad that they feuded so that we could hear Rusev say, Big Show. Big Show! Big.
This is also the around the time, going back to Ziggler, sorry, they kind of did a double switch of who they were feuding with. So Ziggler and The Miz were feuding, and Sheamus and Cesaro were feuding. And then they, like, in a tag team match on Raw or something, they kind of switched who they were feuding with. And they had the mid-card titles that, like you said, which was kind of giving them more prestige at that point.
Yeah, so Sheamus is sticking with the U.S. title at this point. But, I mean, I like Ziggler when Ziggler opens a show. Let's see. I remember not hating the Cena-Orton match, but also being like, the world has seen hundreds of these. This is, like, my second one. So I was like, oh, no, that's all right. It's a decent spot. So nothing really stands out. But, like, they're just doing work, man. But knowing
that Rollins and Ambrose are going to far surpass them.
This, I think I told you this when we were watching it, Cole. Like, I had a little bit during Money in the Bank. But when they started up top, on top of the cells, then it hit me. It's like, you know what? I've only seen highlights of ladder matches and Hell in the Cell matches. I've never watched one live. And just, like, it starts hitting me, like...
The anxiety.
They can really hurt themselves. I don't know. I'm uncomfortable.
No, hey, so this is where Ambrose starts up top, right? And then Jamie Noble and...
Yeah.
And Joey come up, and they climb up, and he's beating up on them, and then somehow Rollins kind of, it's good camera work. I remember him kind of sneaking up on Me too. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But then I'm like, shit, there's four guys up top that's going to, no, there's no way. They need to get down. They need to get down.
I was really nervous.
Yep. Yeah.
Shit. Because I think Ambrose had his kendo stick too.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, man. That was so great to just start up top. And then,
good build up for that feud. That was, you know, like finally get him in a cage. Good start.
And then,
Well, okay, so we
debated about this. Is about the time we started podcasting too. But
is this when the ghost shows up?
It's when the ghost shows up. But they basically let Ambrose win. Like Ambrose is standing over the corpse of Rollins at this point, but he never pins him. But that's when the ghost shows up and scares Ambrose in the corner, and it's the return of Bray Wyatt and Rollins technically won, but like I felt like they concluded the feud well for the time. So I felt like I got my Ambrose got his revenge moment, and then they just set up the next stuff.
Yeah, the match was good. I just thought that was the dumbest ending ever. As a ghost, it was. I mean, I thought we were done with
I don't know.
Kane rising up out of the mat and. All that kind of dumb shit.
I think Wyatt's going to carry that torch for a while.
It was just the worst hologram thing. It was so bad.
But it was, like you said, a nice conclusion to their feud at this point, because it's like WWE's banking on these two dudes to...
Yeah. They're going to have to revisit this several times. So. Yeah, several
times, and they don't want to like blow their wad the first time around. So
yeah.
But yeah, this is when other question marks start popping up. Like, I think a little bit with that ghost stuff, and at this point we're all in on Ambrose and Rollins, and I am super stoked for an Ambrose Wyatt feud. Like, I was like, yeah, that could be fantastic. So, it takes us to Survivor Series, which, God, oh man, I mean this string, the Hell in a Cell is fine.
Except for the main event.
A Survivor Series, like, they had to just create a plot in a month to do the Survivor Series stuff, and then I'll get to the TLC stuff. But what do you guys remember about Survivor Series, Josh?
Absolutely nothing.
All right. Hey.
I I didn't like the... I don't know. That main event was...
I had a bunny match.
Oh, you didn't even like the main event, Josh? Like with Ziggler coming out on top?
No,
kind
I mean
finally showing his like what the fans have been wanting and saying, look, this guy can do it, and making him look pretty strong.
He eliminated more. How many people did he eliminate in that?
Pretty much everybody.
Right? Yeah. So that's cool. Except I didn't like the build up on it. I didn't like the you know, like the stakes they put on it and all that stuff. I don't know. I just
As fans of Ziggler, it was cool, but all in all, yeah.
The team authority, like the who's going to be on what team thing.
That was dumb.
Mark.
Yeah. I guess the match actually itself maybe was not that bad, but I remember more all the build. Because at this point, you know, I'm still like watching, like I'm watching Raw every week and stuff. And so just that build up for it was just bad, because you knew exactly who was going to be on the teams or whatever, and then when they did tease somebody cool, they ended up not actually joining.
Rowan, that was a nice twist.
That was cool. That was no. I liked Rowan kind of doing. I actually liked him going kind of babyface there for a bit.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything with it. Right. That totally just petered out. But
I thought they're gonna have like him creepily stalk what's her name, the announcer. Why am I forgetting?
Jillian Garcia?
No, the main announcer.
Maggle?
No, the main female announcer, sorry.
Renee Young?
Yes, yeah, he was kind of creeping Renee there for a bit, sorry.
Oh, you're right, he was. I forgot about that.
And they threw that away, but...
And I take it you guys you weren't big on Rowan. At this.
No, it's turn. They haven't done anything with the character. Like, I think he's a great big man wrestler, and I mean that's been the whole thing. Is like, okay, you've got your two guys to replace Kane and Big Show for these spots. You've got Harper and Rowan. Let's just run with that, and we don't need anyway. So the Mizdows won tag titles. This was the kind of the culmination of all the Mizdow stuff. So that's fine. I'm fine with that. I mean, I look back at the Wyatt Ambrose feud. There's some good spots in there, but like, they just never took it to 10. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, it's because they didn't. Every match of theirs was like a no DQ or something like that.
Yeah,
like it wasn't special to go no DQ right away.
Yep. And yeah, and then the bunny wrestled, and Brie kissed AJ to distract her for Nikki to take the title. So So this was the transition to Nikki being the champ.
I hate that shit.
So
That stuff's so bad.
Yeah, we're supposed to be skipping over and only pointing out the highlights. Why are we talking about that bullshit?
Story wise, it's good to remember for all of our bad awards. No. And now I think my most frustrating pay per view, because TLC, ladders sure are exciting. Tables are okay, but they added chairs. I mean, well, they've had chairs. Chairs don't work anymore. Like, chairs matches don't do anything for me.
Wait, the Shield breakup was I thought, the comeback for the chairs.
You could do that with a kendo stick.
And in Las Vegas Raw, when they threw all the chairs in the middle of the ring and then superplexed them.
Okay, yeah, yeah. There's still some stuff you can do, but Ryback and Kane aren't going to be your guys to do that. And then,
and then
they also and they also do a stairs match, which was just dumb as hell. But
yep,
the Ziggler Harper Intercontinental Ladder match is one of my favorite matches for sure. Like,
opened the show,
and I thought Luke Harper died twice. Like, it was just
yeah, you were really nervous watching that match. Really, really nervous.
Oh, and he's like, he had the one where he dove through the ropes and like his shoulder or his arm got jammed in the ladder, and then when he sat up, like, he like kind of yelled out in pain, but he was shaking, and it was like he was in so much pain but still in character, because it was still like a creepy like painful yell. And I really like Luke Harper, so And Ziggler had that one spot where Ziggler's head was like in between
the ropes
while he's on the ropes, and he like scraped his forehead. It was just oh my god, they put it all out there. That was awesome.
That match was badass.
Yeah.
And I remember saying when we were watching it, I was like, it's too bad it's out of TLC in December of 2014, because nobody's ever gonna fucking remember this shit.
Yeah.
We will,
but it's never going to get the pub that like a ladders or the Shawn Michaels Razor Ramon ladder match did, or you know, the Hardys and Edge, and it was just, you know, it's up there with us, I think.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
it was like an all time classic ladder match.
Like if that had been the match at WrestleMania, like it would have been. Mm-hmm. You don't book Ziggler Harper at WrestleMania, but at the same time, it would have been as good quality wise.
Yep.
Everything else.
Cena Rollins being really good too, though.
Yeah.
There was, even though Cena beat him like four times.
No, they had some good table spots too. I like the tables match, but
yeah, Cena gently laid him on tables with AAs, I think, a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, Wyatt Ambrose had some good spots with the kendo sticks in the corner, but with no one really liked the TV explosion finish. Or
especially after it was already the eye blinding finish was already done in the women's match that night with the hairspray. It's like,
yeah. I don't remember this, the end of that, or the TV explosion thing.
He went under a ring to grab a TV, and he was like running. It was still plugged in, and he was running to hit Wyatt with it, and it exploded and blinded him, and so Wyatt won.
Oh jeez,
it was really okay. It was real dumb. It was real dumb.
He must have just fallen asleep at that point or something.
Because you know, when you unplug TVs forcefully, they explode.
Oh, that happens. Yeah, yeah. It's the capacitors overload, and yeah,
So things aren't going so well, but Royal Rumble's coming up. It's going to save us all. Okay, let's see here.
And Brian's back at this point.
Yes. Yeah. Which, so I was not on the Brian train.
For the surprise.
Yeah. I was not on the Brian train originally, but that guy won me over in the meantime. Like, just the energy of his matches alone I finally got Daniel Bryan around this time. Kid and Cesaro won tag team, so that was cool. No, never mind. Never mind. They debuted. The Usos are still champs here. Sorry. My God. Look at this fucking line.
It's a,
three tag matches to start the show.
Bad.
This card sucks.
But,
but it's so a rumble. It's the
three-way.
Yeah, but the three-way is awesome. That was
good.
Oh, my God. That Rollins elbow, I'll watch.
That was
amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. God, that was fantastic. Lesnar, really broke a rib. I'm sure of it.
I can't believe I bought into the stretcher thing. Like, damn it.
Stretchers are, I mean, besides Undertaker maybe going out. No, he didn't. I don't know.
He should have.
After his concussion or not. Yeah, he should have.
No, but, he did. Did like the year before the first Triple H or the second Triple H DVD, he went on, or WrestleMania, he went on a stretcher. And that's why Triple H was like, we should fight again because I beat you up really bad even though I lost.
Yeah, that match was, that three way was good. Like, I liked it a lot.
Oh, man. And it was done so well because Rollins could have won. Like, A Rollins head on with Lesnar is sometimes like just physics wise with those guys, it's kind of tough to buy into. But like, it was also a good way to sell like, oh, I actually after this match could totally buy a Rollins Lesnar 1-on-1 match. So, good.
And again, that was a potential opportunity for the briefcase.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. Like, what if like he used it after losing his own match?
That's what you do, right? You let them act like you're beat up. You make sure they're both beat up, and then just come in right at the end. I was like, they need to use that briefcase at some point. Now's the time to do it, right? Like,
what if he cashes it in somehow? Like it gets to some situation where he cashes it in on like Lesnar on like on a stretcher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, and pins him while he's laying on it.
Well,
or
with him,
that
it has
cool.
Yeah, it has to be in the most heelish way possible. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
More
missed opportunities. It was a good match, though.
So the Rumble.
The Boogeyman.
That was nice.
Talk about taking the wind out of your sails after an awesome triple threat match.
Oh, man. It was, regardless of who wins, it was booked so poorly. Like, it's amazing to look back at, like, I think even if you know Reigns is going to win going into it, like, he doesn't look good ever in the match. Like,
not like he did last year.
I've since come around on the whole eliminate Bryan early arguments, because if you eliminate him late, the crowd's even hotter and booing more right at the end, but
if they would have surprised announced Bryan, or he would have been a surprise entrance, then it might have not have been as big a deal. But the way they set it up the month before the Rumble was like, he's going to come in and win,
yeah,
because he never lost the title. Why build that up and then,
yeah,
the fans,
that's a good point,
are
don't
so pumped.
Just, but he didn't even have a strong showing.
No, yeah, no.
It sucked.
Totally. It's Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that was
kicking ass.
That was him getting buried, at least for that particular match.
Well, they said later that the feud after Rumble was supposed to be Bryan Wyatt. Like, that was supposed to be, going into Fastlane, was supposed to be Wyatt and Bryan, so Wyatt only does 1 month of Undertaker promos instead of two. But
that crowd wanted absolutely nothing to do with the way they wrote that.
But the crowd was great at the same time. Like, that was the most entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, what's the crowd going to do?
Like Kane and Big Show eliminating everybody, like Ziggler and Ambrose.
Oh, God.
And everybody.
I mean, that's the other things. You have Kane and Big Show in there at the end. Like, yeah. God damn it.
I know. It's like all the worst things. And the crowd is like with us. Like, they're vocalizing everything we're thinking. Even like when they see what's about to happen, they start booing.
Yeah.
It's really good. It was a good.
Can all shows be in Philly?
I don't always like smart crowds, but these were.
Oh, man.
What about some of the surprise entrances and all that kind of stuff? Would you guys?
I like Bubba Ray. Like,
I thought Bubba Ray was
The stuff with R-Truth was racially awkward, but other than that, like, I liked his appearance. And they haven't said anything about that since, but I enjoyed Bubba Ray. I like Bray Wyatt's little domination run there in the middle. I was fine with that.
I did too. He looked good.
I hated...
Well, besides the Bryan elimination, right?
Yeah, and then just like Ziggler as an also-ran was weird. Like, he's in there for 90 seconds too, and like, it's just...
Well, he had gotten buried in the month leading up to that with like his firing and all that shit. And coming to the rescue from the Survivor Series peak.
Yep.
And then he was just like, "Well, Ziggler, let's bunch him up with Ryback and Rowan, see what happens."
Because at this point, going into this into the Rumble, I came up with the plot line of, "Hey, let's get behind the guys that got you here and." Rollins cashes in for the championship at Rumble, and Ambrose wins the Rumble, and you've got Ambrose Rollins for the title at WrestleMania, and I somehow sold myself on that. But I was just like, even when they eliminated Bryan, I was like, oh shit, they're giving it to Ziggler. Like that was my, I was like, they have to. Oh,
are we gonna talk about the Boogeyman? He looked great.
He's the Boogeyman. He looked the same.
He didn't age a day.
He didn't.
He's the Boogeyman.
No.
Why would he age?
He took a potion or something, and he's going to live forever.
Boogeyman was a surprise.
That was definitely a surprise. Yeah. Oh, so random.
Having that around Wyatt's cool. And that little moment with, was it Harper and Rowan in there? Like where they had a little Wyatt family reunion for a little bit?
That was neat.
Yep.
So the crowd completely ruining or making it or saving it, the Rusev thing being like where he's outside but not eliminated.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that part was awesome.
That was great. He gets tossed out and then
they don't
everyone's
even,
chanting
even
for
then,
him.
Even then, like
well, that, like,
everything you've done
hiding,
with
and everybody's booing, right? Because they think Reigns is the last one. Rusev comes into the ring. The crowd explodes,
and he's immediately
with
out.
Happiness.
If he had won that
already,
no.
What's that? No.
Rock is not. No. No. Wait.
Just
no. Yeah, okay. So
yeah, Rock came out to help eliminate.
I think they were already eliminated though, like because
no,
they came back. I think they came back in the ring and started beating up on him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you might be right.
That was right. Yeah.
And that's when Rock came out, and then he cleared the ring again, and that's when Rusev popped up, so Reigns could eliminate Rusev.
God, the crowd exploded when Rusev showed up. It was so great.
Shit. But and it,
I did too. I was so excited.
And everything. Everything you've done with Rusev, too. It's just like, you got to make Rusev look strong by him getting immediately thrown out. Like, let them brawl for 3 or 4 minutes, a couple minutes. Like,
I know. Or just, if they don't want, like, put someone else other than Rusev in that spot.
Yeah.
Because that's a great way, like, I mean, obviously they didn't anticipate the...
Have Ziggler do some weird thing where they thought they threw him out, but
What did they expect? Well, yeah, that. But, like, what did they expect when they were writing that would happen at that point? Like, so do they think everyone is going to be like, yeah, Reigns, and then like, oh no, Rusev! Oh no, Reigns might get eliminated, and then, yay, he didn't! Like, is that how they really thought it was going to go down? Because like, if they had actually anticipated the Reigns getting completely pooped on by that crowd, having that person, and Rusev wasn't the guy, it wouldn't have mattered who it was. They would have got a huge pop just coming up. Like, yeah, sweet, someone else other than Reigns. But had they actually played that right and got somebody that needed to go over and then came in and actually like threw Reigns out, eliminated him, that would have put someone.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Big time over, and once again another missed opportunity.
You could fancy book that Rumble again all year. So there was one more. There was the Fastlane, the aptly named Road to WrestleMania event.
What was used to be in this spot? There was a different
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
I was disappointed by the Goldust Stardust match. Actually, that was weird. I feel like
it looked like they were building it to something bigger, and then they just kind of dropped
ending
up. It.
Yeah, the ending was weird. This is where Kid and Cesaro won the tag championship. So, yeah. Well, can they? Yeah, can
that was
they?
A good match.
I mean, their Kid and Cesaro shirts are awesome, but I really wish they'd have they'd embrace one of the team names for them, either Brass Ring Club or Masters of the WWE Universe.
No, yeah, that's the best one. Were there any good matches here? What was
Reigns and Bryan was good.
Yep.
No, you're right. Russo, no, that one was good. Yeah.
Rusev Cena was good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I mean, it's just Cena doing more work, so it was that was fine.
What was that? I don't remember this just happened, and I don't remember anything about it. What happened with what was the B&B and
I don't remember that.
Ambrose.
So that was where Dean made him tied his wrists to one of the poles to have him sign the contract. Dean was, it was just a regular fight, and Dean was like stomping him in the corner or something. And the ref set, like told him to stop, and he didn't, and he disqualified him like on the, like the, like the loosest little, it was crap.
So why I know they're trying to make the Intercontinental title. That's just dumb. I mean, come on. He's supposed to do crazy stuff when he's got a goal or someone he – like, what's he have against Bad News Barrett? Like, really, right?
No, he just wants a title. Like, that was his
Yeah, but that's not how you win the title. You know, he's not stupid. Like, that's what I don't like about that kind of thing. It's like, yeah. Like, he cares about the title, and he's an intelligent guy.
During the snowstorm, he's wandering around the offices and saw the pictures of all the Intercontinental champions.
Right.
he made that story out of nothing. Like,
yes. Yes.
God, I love Dean Ambrose. Like, he'll do he'll do what he has to do, but yeah, that match it wasn't anything. So,
yeah, I just don't remember the actual match itself.
Like, it's kind of with Bad News, I like the character, but I haven't, like, his matches haven't really stood out recently, so
I feel like that the injuries and the time off probably actually weren't good for him. I mean, injuries obviously aren't good for him, but that I feel like he'll get into a groove a little bit.
Yeah, because he had his momentum. He had a lot of momentum before he got hurt. And I remember being like super pissed at Swagger for throwing him into the.
Oh yeah, you were gonna mail Anthrax to Jack Swagger.
Yeah, because Barrett was doing so well and on the rise, and then Swagger stopped him in his tracks, just like he stopped Ziggler a time or two, mm-hmm. his concussions and stuff. So,
all right, let's go on to the NXT shows. We do want to give a shout out to the Cesaro Sami Zayn match, and probably the Neville Bo Dallas match from NXT Arrival, but technically, we're not including that pay per view. It doesn't fall in our timeline here. So the first pay-per-view in May, NXT TakeOver. What stood out to you, Cole?
Obviously, the Charlotte-Natalya match. I think that was for the vacant Women's Championship, because Paige had vacated it when she moved up to the main roster. That was really good. Tyler Breeze and Sami Zayn was really good. I think Tyler Breeze actually won to become the number one contender, but it never paid off for him by himself. And then obviously the Neville and Kidd match is, you know, that's when I kind of started liking Tyson Kidd again.
That was the turning point.
He actually has a character that, you know, propelled him back to the main roster. So
I think this was the show where I became a lifelong Tyler Breeze fan. Like, it was like, I started enjoying the character a little bit before this, but this was when, oh shit, he can also work in the ring, and I love all the heel things he does. And it was funny. I remember the match, but I didn't remember that it was Sami Zayn in there, because so this is you'll hate this, guys. When I started watching NXT, I got Sami Zayn and Mojo Rawley confused for the longest time.
You're an asshole.
That's just, I don't get that.
Really excitable bearded gingers like that's.
And luckily, they look nothing alike whatsoever. And one of them is an amazing performer, and the other one needs to go away.
Yeah.
And the other one, yes.
Well, let's just go when I was enjoying the match, it was Sami Zayn and I didn't realize it. And when I hated the match, it was Mojo Rawley. I mean, that's a safe assumption.
Very safe assumption.
Yeah, I think so.
But did we actually think Natalya was going to win? I started thinking about that the other day. Like, is she going to really have a reign in NXT? But what an arrival for Charlotte.
It was a good match. It had, you know, Bret Hart and
Rick Flair. Charlotte took it, taked over. She didn't arrive. That was her. Yeah.
Ric Flair and Bret Hart were involved with the family history.
That was cool.
On the ringside to kind of give it a little more prestige. And I think it really worked, and it was a great match. And it was like kind of the introduction for me for Charlotte to be like, holy shit, she's a badass.
Yeah, this was the start of her amazing run for this year.
I mean, I don't know. NXT Arrival was pretty awesome, but I feel like this is the show that put it on the map for me. It was kind of like they also followed it up, and top to bottom, it's a pretty good card.
Well, I thought it was
Josh Slayer.
No, I'm just kidding. I thought it was good, but at this point, I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. But I wasn't just like I am now, where every week I'm like, NXT, way better than than the main roster. But I thought it was just okay.
Yeah, because I think they improved it with Fatal 4-Way, which was the next one in September. Mm-hmm. So
what I think, before we move on, is I think with the TakeOver, you know, it's kind of, this is the new, more besides like Adam Rose, pretty much everybody was like not on the main roster on this card yet, except for Natalya, I guess. But whereas Arrival, it was kind of sprinkled with more people who were on the main roster or Legends, like Too Cool. I use the Legends pretty.
Yeah,
loosely there.
Right.
Was Xavier Woods already on the main roster at that point,
He was on the main roster.
Too Odell Cool, Cesaro. Yeah.
Too Cool, Cesaro. It's kind of like, well, we want to have these guys on to make sure people watch this.
Yeah.
But then we're going to go on our kind of our own next.
This is them holding their own. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
take over two. Four-way.
Fatal 4-Way.
They discovered later they didn't need to do that.
No, yeah.
Oh, man. Where to start?
Debut of Baron Corbin.
That was cool. I like a good squash character, and he's got a good entrance, and holy shit, that finishing move.
Yeah. And I think they intro'd Hideo Itami at this one.
Had to have been. Yeah, because he fought in the next one. So, yeah, this had to have been the... Okay, yeah, because the Ascension lose their tag titles, and they're coming out to talk to Regal while he's introducing Hideo. And that starts the Ascension Hideo.
Right, right.
So,
yep.
Yeah, because the Lucha Dragons were okay. They're all right at that point. You liked the hair versus hair match, right? I was not sold on Enzo at that point, Cole.
Yeah, I was already on board with Enzo. That's why. I mean, but I think it's pretty telling that Sylvester LaFour and that other guy haven't been on TV very much since then.
I don't think they have been.
They're not great. Well, yeah,
I haven't seen him.
The bald guy, the guy who lost his hair.
Oh, yeah, he was stalking Breeze for a while, wasn't he?
He was stalking and being weird. He reminded me of that guy who punted Kane and Lita's baby. I can't remember what his name was, but he was awful. But yeah, so I was already on board with Enzo, so I thought that match was pretty good.
I think this was also the breakout party for Bayley as well. Like, even though she lost, like, this was the women's division is fine, and they've got more up and comers, and Bayley can hold her own too. But also Charlotte's a great champion. That was kind of the other thing I took away from it.
That was really good. I didn't like Bayley too much until that match.
I think this is when she showed up with the when she added the Macho Man streamers to her outfit, because that got me excited. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah,
be more Macho Man. That's fine. You can make that work.
Perfect.
Macho Man needs to hug more. But holy shit, that 4-way. This was just like the beginning of NXT main events keep one-upping each other, and they booked it so well, because this was, like you said, Breeze was number one contender, and I believe there was interference in his actual title shot, that because Kid wouldn't go away, and then setting up the longer story between Zayn and Neville, like, oh man, it was such a good match, and then you look at all the other things that kind of broke off of it, that this was like NXT booking at its finest.
And they were, you had basically like two heels, two baby faces, right? Mm-hmm. And but they're not aligned with each other. Mm-hmm. And you never, that never happens on the main cards, like on the main roster. Like they don't just, they don't do stuff
and
like
four
that.
Ways
like,
usually,
hey, look, these guys are really good wrestlers. Therefore, we're going to put them together because they all deserve this. It has nothing to do with like, well, we have to come up with some kind of real compelling reason for them to all be, you know, like they got to take sides or it's good guys versus bad guys. No, it's good wrestlers versus good wrestlers.
Yep. This is when NXT was taking, well, yeah, never mind, taking over. So I honestly, I was like, well, you know, that was fun. NXT is not going to get any better. Like this is peak. They've got it. They're going to fucking ruin it because it's WWE. So TakeOver 3, our Evolution. That's really the worst part they have going is they can't name any of these fucking events. But so Kevin Owens debuts, gets his nose and busted open by CJ Parker.
That was awesome. He just kills him.
I think we can come back to that match, but let's see what else. So Finn Balor's wrestling at this point. He's teamed up with Tommy to fight the Ascension. That match is fine.
No, wait, hang on. So Lucha Dragons fought villains.
Yeah.
So this is where I'm at this point, I'm super high on the vaudevillains.
Uh-huh.
And isn't this where there wasn't one Lucha, like a Sin Cara or somebody's like, jumps off outside the ring onto both of them, and one of them shoves the other one out of the way.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, that was chivalry. So good. And,
yep.
Yeah, chivalry. And that happened again in another match recently. Yeah,
I felt
on
they,
TV it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's different. Yeah, different people, but like this crowd's chanting the chivalry. It's really good.
I remember this match being pretty sloppy.
It was. Yeah. I mean, it was. But
I remember the vaudevillains too.
I remember marking it as the like. That was a pretty good tag team match. It was fine, but it was the weakest match on the card, like, because this card is amazing. So, even another Baron Corbin spot, because I'm not sick of him at this point. He's just showing up, beating ass in 13 seconds. So,
yep.
And I think they're starting to tease the Bull Dempsey stuff at that point. So, Balor and Tommy doing, like, drop kicks in the corner.
That was good.
The Ascension finally being able to work with decent people. And then, this is my turning point for Sasha Banks too. Like this is, yep. I hated her. Like it was like when the BFFs broke up, it was just like, well, Sasha Banks is going to go away because Charlotte's breaking out. Summer Rae moved on. Who cares about Sasha Banks? But hey, she's a pretty good heel and they weren't quite ready to let her win, but man, she can wrestle.
Yeah, I remember even before this is I think it was the Fatal 4-Way where Charlotte and Bayley fought. She was on the pre-show, and I was like you before that. I was like, man, I hate her. She's so annoying. Like, why is she around? And then I watched her interact with Alex Riley, and maybe it's because of my extreme hatred for Alex Riley
that I
was like, man, this Sasha Banks is hilarious. Like, she's treating him like absolute the garbage that he is. This is incredible. She is amazing on the microphone, and then sure enough, she can back it up in the ring as well.
God, these two together.
Yep.
One of the best pairings. I could watch them wrestle every week.
Yep.
They are that good together. I mean, they're both like good performers, but man, they are perfect perfectly matched.
And it's kind of a battle of opposites too, where usually it's the smaller person who is the good guy and not the heel, and
that's a good point.
Played that into their feud really well, and you know she's small, but she can back it up by kicking ass, and she talks a good game too.
If I remember right, like I think I remember liking some of their other matches better, and I think I'm a big Bayley fan, so I think I liked the Bayley Charlotte match better, but the from this point on, the Sasha Banks Charlotte matches were just phenomenal. But for whatever reason, this one stands out as not the best one of the series of matches they've had. But
no, I would think the one after TakeOver, the next TakeOver Rival was better.
Yeah. Okay. And then,
3 weeks ago or whatever,
yeah,
right?
The one on the weekly show was better. Yeah.
Yeah. But holy shit, Sami Zayn, Neville.
Oh man.
So I mean, it's we know they're great technical wrestlers, like, and they're awesome at all that stuff. But the storytelling that they do, and like I said, tying back to the Fatal 4-Way event, just having two baby faces going at each other, but giving them both their own twists on it, and Neville doing his thing to try to always win, and Zayn not giving in, even though the crowd is going to allow him. Like, he has that moment where he can get the cheap win and the crowd's okay with it, and trying to tell him to do it, but he won't do it. But he still wins. I was all in for the drama there.
God, that was an amazing back and forth. Crowd was perfect. I loved that match so much.
Maybe like Neville more too. Like,
yeah, no, yeah, me too. I was Neville was he was always really good. Mm-hmm. I respected his work, but I was never really pumped to see him.
Yep,
but liked him better, like with Final Four.
He brought the character for this one. Like,
yeah,
this build before he was just like this guy who can do amazing things in the air and in the wrestling ring, but he didn't have a whole lot of character. And then now it's like this dude will do whatever it takes to win. If that means, you know, mm-hmm. pulling the referee out in the Fatal 4-Way so Zayn can't win, or hitting him with a title or whatever it takes. And then the fans still appreciating, but having that heelish vibe to him. And then also with Sammy, it's like he's a supreme underdog, but he was also doing some like really aggressive, mm-hmm. intense things too, to like
get his promos were match. Getting yeah. almost a little like, out of character too. Like he's
yeah, like pretty heelish. He had like heelish attributes as well. So it was like a great mixture of the two.
Because if he lost, he was done. Right. Like that was, right.
He put that limitation on himself.
Yeah.
On himself. Right.
Yeah.
No, but that, he had, this is the match where Zayn did the thing where he dove through the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the between, you know, both sides of the ropes, and did the I don't even know what that move is called.
It's a suicide dive through the ropes. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it's been done a million times on independent circuit or whatever, but like for somebody like me seeing that for the first time.
No, the best is when it doesn't work.
The best is when the first NXT pay per view when Cesaro, he did that to Cesaro, and Cesaro hit him with an uppercut.
He's just like,
that's right. Oh shit, I forgot about that one. That was great. Yeah. I remember that now. Oh, and Bayley did that to somebody, I think. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Or one of the
yeah.
two.
Yeah.
I love that move. That's one of my favorite moves now.
All right. So
I see it 40 times.
Cole and I are euphoric, and this is the greatest wrestling event we've watched in years, and this is why we continue to watch at our and are still as into it as we are. And there's this huge celebration for Sammy. Like, all of NXT comes out because this is the culmination. Like, you deserve it. Everybody's out of character to me at this point, just like supporting this guy.
Yeah, Tyler Breeze is out there. Like, you know,
this is great. And then he does it at the show where his best friend shows up for the first time with Kevin Owens, and he's out there hugging him. And
God, it just felt so good.
It's so great. And they're walking back up the ramp. And then, I say to Cole, "It's like, well, a heel turn," and as a 100% complete joke, because they're gonna go out on a feel good moment. And holy shit! Hey, guess what? Kevin Owens is a heel.
Oh,
the way it was so incredible. The way that they set that up throughout the entire night, right before it happened, dropping the lower third that says like all the copyright information's like usually
we're going home
when a wrestling show is over, they throw that and then it goes to black right after. They stayed with it, so you knew. Like, wow, this is awesome.
Well, I mean, we had the moment. I was like,
extend the celebration. They're going to extend the celebration for us. We're going to see it like go backstage. That's going to be awesome.
I know. I might actually leave now. Like,
yeah. But then looking back, it was like, look, they had him debut. They had that locker room scene where they're talking to Sami Zayn, and you see Kevin Owens like sitting there just staring at Sami Zayn. Like, the foreshadow is perfect. At the end, when he jumps in the ring and celebrates with him at first, then he backs off and the rest of the crowd comes in, and you can kind of see him like standing off to the back and just been, like looking at it like something's going to happen. But
I need to rewatch that.
you don't see that until after it happens, and you like go back and look, and you're just like, oh my god, like this. This is the best storytelling that WWE has ever done in their entire.
You go back even a step further, and they also let him debut in the crowd pop for him in the match with Parker because they don't ever establish whether or not he's a heel or a face. Like, they just let him be.
And everyone hates CJ Parker.
Right, right.
And like that crowd is there's the smartest crowd on TV, right? And they're also like not bitter about the product like the main shows. So there's just always fun. The crowd makes that show sometimes. It's really good. And everybody's like, you know where this guy came from and, you know, some of the story, even if you're like me and you have to go back and watch stuff on YouTube because you've never really seen the guy. I heard his name, never saw him. Now I've seen a bunch of his older stuff and he's great. But it's like, you know, those guys have this history, but it's like, you know, they're like, you know, they really are genuinely like really good friends. That's the feeling you get out of it, right?
Yep.
And it's like, oh shit, it was such a feel good. I mean, I actually gave a shit. I actually was like, I felt really
good. I was so
like,
happy for all of them.
I was happy for them. Yeah. Oh man, I was so happy for them. It was so cool.
Especially because Kevin Owens had like tears in his eyes as he's walking down the entrance for first match too. Like that helped build onto this whole like feel good thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure they actually did. They were actually happy for each other too, right? Yeah.
I mean,
you know, but it's like, and Kevin, it's like not even his thing is just like, hey, this is how if I want to be the best, this is how I have to do it. It's also like he didn't like throw away all the happy celebration necessarily. It was more like
I have to seize my moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it really was the perfect time to do it. It was
like, and he did it with a crazy ass power bomb.
Oh shit! That power bomb off the. On the corner of the apron, where it meets the ring, that looked like it hurt bad.
Yeah,
that looked painful. God, that was so. It, well, I mean, just the way he shoved him down on the ramp was the perfect way. Besides, maybe the end over end lariat would have they could have sold that one.
Yeah.
That'd have been the only other way to do that. Yeah, it was.
So then perfect. I've been thinking about, like, this took the wind out of my sails a little bit with the how I was talking about the Ambrose-Rollins ending of, like, they let him win. They concluded the feud, and then they moved on.
Yeah.
But this did it so much better. Like, he also got to, like, celebrate and get in that moment a little bit longer before moving on to the next thing. And holy shit. Like, yeah, I was like, okay, now NXT is a better product than the WWE. Like, these aren't just one-off things, so.
Well, and then wasn't it that weekend then that TLC happened? And,
yeah.
Yeah, and totally overshadowed.
Yeah, and everyone, at this point, everyone is starting to make that comparison, I think. I could keep reading about it everywhere online, or even, like, seeing, like, the WWE superstars tweeting about it or something like that, you know, about like how good NXT is, or like Triple H talking about it on Twitter, like kind of throwing some things out there like, okay, these, like, you know, almost like everyone's thinking like, damn, main roster needs to step up because they're getting outshined like real bad.
Yep. And then we got one more pay-per-view they had in February, TakeOver 4 Rival. Let's see what stood out here. Like, our Evolution is a tough one to follow up, but, man, so we had Tommy Breeze open the show.
Can we go back real quick? I just remember something else about Evolution. Balor's demon character debuted.
Oh, shit. That was the other. Oh, sorry. I missed that. Yeah. That was
best entrance. Fuck. That was good. I can't believe they do the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
I can't believe they actually, no one does that.
No.
The only person that gets entrances like that now were Undertaker and Triple H. And they like let him do his whole thing. No one I had never seen it. Like, I'd never seen that before.
Yeah.
You know, I've since gone back since I am completely in love with Finn Balor, Prince Devitt. I've now gone back and seen a bunch of his old stuff, and that guy, his entrances are, his outfits, like those paint incredible jobs on him are so good. He's like Punisher, Joker, Venom. He does all these sweet ones. Loved it. I got like,
yeah. I mean, that was actually
hearts in my eyes right now.
So that was the beginning of like trying to get my other friends to watch NXT, and I would I opened with the Balor stuff. Like that was the first thing. I was like, check out this guy, and then because it's harder to, and then I'd show them the turn of Owens and just that powerbomb. So that was, I started to have like these really quick concrete examples of how awesome this stuff is, and yeah, I can't believe I forgot about that entrance, but I. Because it was a tag match, I forgot he did it then. So
I was going to bring it up at the next one. I forgot it was there though.
All right, so at Rival, the awesomeness continues. I've enjoyed all the Tommy Breeze matches, and you know that those can headline shows, but there's other awesome things going on here. So because they've really done a great job with is their number one contender tournaments, and just they do it with the tag teams as well, and just building up these people, and just. Seeing the crash course of Balor Neville, because it was either a Tommy Neville or Balor Neville, and
there was a Balor or Tommy match the week before.
Yeah, right? It's just like that. They're so loaded right now, and this enjoy it, soak it all in while you can. I could watch Balor Neville matches all day.
That was such a high, it was a good high energy. Like, I think they just had really good spots. It was fucking awesome.
It might be third place out of, Breeze might be fourth place out of these.
Yeah. Yeah. And, which is crazy.
And then the question is, was the women's fatal four way better than the main event?
That was really good.
I think the one thing that, like, I really love the story of, the main event, obviously, with Owens and Zayn, but the way that ended and the questions surrounding like how it ended, it was just like it kind of let took the air out of the crowd a little bit, just because it was confusing and it wasn't clear. Whereas the women's was like so aggressive, brutal at some points, like risk taking.
Yeah,
the most incredible women's match,
and like yes, absolutely.
You honestly didn't. For me, it was like, I didn't think Becky Lynch would win, but the other three could have won.
Yep.
The way they had built the story. And it was like,
yeah. Becky even had some good spots, too. Like,
yeah, I didn't hate Becky in that
did.
Match.
Yeah, they all did.
I hated her outfit. They need to figure out that character real quick.
That's so weird. Yeah, that's
good. Sasha winning it and with that brutal, like, double knee
up and down
thing with two women. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, from both of them. Yeah.
That's a cool move.
And didn't Bayley have like some
her
stuff off the top rope?
Yeah, I think she did.
And she had
submission stuff is really good too for Sasha.
Yeah,
the way she cranks on their back.
No, I mean that I didn't.
Best women's match ever.
Yeah, I just they keep raising the bar too. Like, and that's amazing. And then Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn was basically SummerSlam Part 2. It was basically this is how you also do the Lesnar Cena match. And but
this is how you tell the story better. You
do
a moonsault to the outside and you fake hit your head onto metal, and then that starts the whole story where the fans are concerned. It's like, oh my god, did he really hit his head? It looked like he hit his head.
Yeah. Concussions are serious.
Again, like bringing that reality to it, like they did in the last takeover, where you know you're banking on the fact that these guys are really friends and this is really a feel good moment. Now he's like, oh my god, is he really hurt? What's gonna happen? How can he finish this match?
I was trying to think, did Kevin Owens have any
brutalized.
Like of our little favorite little heel moments, like the
he jumped out of the ring and stuff,
like yeah I mean when he kicked the title into Sami Zayn's head is one of my favorite ones, and then like more recently when he stomped Alex Riley in the corner on his way out.
That was incredible.
I was trying to think if he did any little stuff, like, because that's what carries me through the match. Like every time there's a low point in a Kevin Owens match, he'll do something to just get a reaction, and he just has control over the ring at any point.
And
it's
it's simple things too. It's not over elaborate, like especially when he starts the match and everybody's like, you know, Alex Riley's wanting to get his hands on him and like pushing and shoving and stuff. And then he just ducks to the outside for like 15, 20 seconds, you know? And it's like, it's the smallest things that can piss the crowd off that nobody does anymore that he's doing.
All right. Well, we've made it through all the pay-per-views. I'm going to take a quick little break here, and then we'll be back to hand out a few awards here. So hang tight. All right, we're back. We've got how many awards here? We're going to hand out 11 awards. 41 awards. Welcome to the 6-hour podcast. We're going to kick things off, though, with the best sign or fan moment. So we're going to nominate a bunch of things, cut it down to 3 finalists, and pick a winner. So go ahead and throw what you got out there.
For sign is I could be home watching Nitro, which is one of my favorites of the year, especially after it showed up right after Nitro was released on the network. So
I got a real big kick out of the people just holding up number 2s. Like just the number 2 anytime there was a 2 count. Because yeah. I that's my favorite.
There was a guy doing that at the Ring of Honor show, but then sometimes he would hold up a shoe and yell shoe, which I thought was funny.
I was like, was it only 2? Was it only 2? They need to count to 4 just so we have more options. I would also just say, I mean, the Undertaker reactions.
Yeah. Those are, I think that's probably the winner.
Let's see.
Oh, you got anything else? Big Show skips leg day was outside of this, but I want to just throw it out there because I'll forget.
So
for next,
no, I mean, if we're
for
using
next year's.
We're using the pay per views as like just our guide. If you saw stuff during Raws and that kind of stuff, okay.
Was Titty Master this year?
Oh, it was. Yeah. Oh my God, what was that? Oh, that was just for context. If people don't think that we're just gross or whatever, like Dean Ambrose had at some point on his wrist tape written in Sharpie, Titty Master. And the next thing you know, the sign is showing up like every week.
Yeah.
And it like at one point, yeah, it was like, I mean, it was getting on TV. I don't remember if it was at a pay-per-view or not, but I remember him, it's when they were still doing the Shield thing, or no, it was after the Shield thing. It was just him by himself, I think. He comes down the stairs, and someone right next, the camera's right on him, and someone right next to him goes, pop, here, there's a sign, real big. Couldn't miss it. Oh, I forgot about that. Thanks.
I'm going to throw out the Philadelphia Rumble reactions. That crowd was a lot of fun. But also Blue Tista chants, especially the Raw after when Batista was leaving. That was cracking me up.
Yeah, that was good.
Is there anything from NXT? Go ahead.
What about so we're still doing pay-per-views, but there was a moment,
no, whatever,
and I just have to call out leading up to WrestleMania, right before WrestleMania, I think it was the Raw before, where okay. Brian got, they bring all the people in the ring and around the ring with all the yes shirts and do the chant and all that. I know it's like set up or whatever, but the entire crowd is doing it too, and that was pretty impressive. It was a sea of people all like in unison doing the chant.
He can also just do the yes chants at WrestleMania, like that WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, no, that was good too. But just like seeing that crowd all come together, like that was cool.
What about NXT? Oh, we got Blue Pants. Blue Pants chants.
Anything Enzo and Cass have done? I mean, like any signs? I think the crowd in NXT just says so many different things and chants so many different things. Like, we should just award it to them as a whole.
That's fair.
God, you're right.
They did kind of a coming out thing. I was gonna
that show
because I like the countdowns with Baron Corbin. Like that was.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll lump them together.
The Breeze is gorgeous. Maybe my favorite chant.
When the crowd like Sasha's ratchet, no, she's not. It's perfect.
Oh, like, so good,
okay,
man!
All right, I'm. By the way, I'm adding
chivalry,
I'm adding a category, and we'll do it next. So, the Breeze stuff reminded me of something that I want to do. So, okay, all right. So I think we've got enough nominees there. Let's see some stuff. I would say in the finals, Undertaker reactions, the NXT crowd. So we'll get rid of Blue Pants and Breeze is Gorgeous and lump all that stuff together.
Also, the amount of giant bomb signs that I've seen this year was also ridiculous.
Like,
Push Dr. Tracksuit, Air Force Gator, keep showing up. Push Dr. Tracksuit. Yeah.
Okay. What would be your third one? We've got NXT, I think NXT crowd and Undertaker reactions. Blue Tista might have a vote for me.
I'd probably go Yes Chance or Rumble reactions. Just because how big it was in that moment.
Okay.
At the end of WrestleMania. Or throughout WrestleMania, actually, not just at the end.
Okay, so we'll do Yes Chance. We'll do Yes Chance in NXT.
That was cool.
I think the Yes Chance is kind of easier to overlook because it happened a year ago. You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't more recently. And but
how about a CM Punk chance?
Yeah. Oh, man. There are so many of those, though. That's every week. Every single week.
I get pissed when they do it during AJ matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just rude.
All right. So we got our finalists here. NXT crowd, Yes Chance, Undertaker reactions. Shit.
I'm going to go with NXT crowd.
Yep. That's me, too. Because right, that actually affects my enjoyment of the show in a positive way every week.
All right. Yeah. Because I'm in between and the Undertaker reactions.
That would be way better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God, this is going to be an NXT show, isn't it?
And that's why WrestleMania is usually so good, because the crowd is like an NXT crowd.
Yeah.
Except it's like 60,000 instead of 600.
Best sign or fan moment, NXT crowd. So I just created the best gimmick because Tyler brings his selfie stick.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Enzo's chance. Enzo's entrance. Oh, shit. Balor's demon.
It's Enzo and Kaz, so, right? Hold up there.
Thank you.
Come on now.
Thank you, because Cass is awesome.
Yeah.
A Balor's demon. Demon entrance. We'll give props to the whole entrance. Okay.
Kevin Owens gimmick. Not giving a shit about anybody.
KO heel. Anything not from NXT. Yeah,
exactly.
The bunny. No.
Is there a worst category?
Who have I liked?
Rusev.
Yeah. Rusev and Putin. they've leaned into that. I mean, so when we were at that Raw, Josh, we were there for the medal ceremony.
I mean, that was weird.
But they go all in on it, and I'm okay with that.
I'd not say Lesnar's face turn with Heyman. Anything Heyman related.
Heyman.
And Rollins has been good this year, too.
Rollins, so, sleazy heel.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Rollins.
Well, okay, I want to maybe just... it'll be at the bottom of the list, but the Shield... down the stairs entrance thing where those guys would come out.
Yeah.
That was kind of, I mean, you know, it got to pop every time.
So this is now best gimmick or entrance.
And we've seen it. Yeah. That's a gimmick, right? I mean, that's a thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Someone else does that.
Batista waving goodbye. That always cracks me up. Anything with the Authority and Steph?
Steph
for business. Steph puns. Steph's face.
All of Stephanie.
This is a pretty. We got three winners on this list.
Bray's entrance, the Fireflies stuff.
Yeah, oh, that's okay.
Okay. Well, fuck.
That is pretty cool. Like having seen that live,
and being there.
That was pretty neat. And I wasn't even really that into that entrance, and that was pretty cool.
Damn, look at this. Okay, I thought I was going to give it to Selfie Stick out of the gate, but he needs to do more with it.
I'll say my top three are Enzo and Cass, Baylor, and probably Bray. They're all entrances, shit. Heyman. Heyman is just so good.
It's just like
Shield's close.
We need a best mic work or something. Like a best promo.
Just give it to Paul Heyman and then move on.
There's been some decent mic work.
Okay. Best gimmick. What's that?
Maybe like there's two categories here with best.
I mean, we didn't have enough gimmicks.
No,
it's like best character, like the thing you identify with the character.
Character association, like yeah. Best music could be that as well, I guess.
Finn Balor's demon
best
entrance.
I'll just say best character gimmick. Like that seems redundant, but all right. So, I think I'm good with Enzo and Cass entrance, Balor's entrance, and Bray's entrance. Like, I really wanted selfie stick to get. I was so happy to see a fuzzy selfie stick. But
Me too. I really like it.
I think so if he incredible. Starts doing more, I think he needs to take selfies as he beats dudes. Like he kind of teased that with a Tommy, and then a Tommy rose up, and it was great.
Yeah.
All right. So out of those three, though, gosh, I feel like it's I got at the. I was going to say it was too early to give it to Balor, but I think Bray's entrance wins for me just throughout the year and the I don't know, being there twice, three times, I guess. It's been that'd be my vote.
Well, it's something that we weren't able to do in the past, really. Yeah. I think it's cool that like the fans are using technology to like enhance somebody's entrance when just the lights go out. I think that's really neat.
Yeah.
Because it has like fan interactions. Although, just like Enzo and Cass and Baylor's Demon, they all have.
But the crowd does the
the arm thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty great. It's a good visual, too.
I don't know. What's your guys' vote?
I'm actually okay with the Bray entrance because next year when Balor comes out at WrestleMania. Doing his entrance, it'll be that much cooler.
And I have the same thing with Enzo and Cass. I want to see the legs on it. And Bray, the Fireflies have had legs. Like, that sounds really weird. But yeah. All right.
The thing. Actually, my takeaway from this category is now you've planted this idea in my head of Tyler Breeze using the selfie stick mid match, and if he could somehow come up with a finisher where he's doing it while he's holding the selfie stick.
Oh, shit. But also reminded me, and I told this to Cole. I could watch Adam Rose, Tyler Breeze comedy matches for a long time. When he was fending off the Rosebuds with the selfie stick. Yeah,
that was good.
Oh, man. Oh, all right. Now we're moving on to best tag team or faction. So, the Shield?
Shield, Upper Cats.
The Upper Cats. All right. Ms. Dowse?
The Vaude Villains.
Villains.
So, I mean, Goldust Stardust. Yep. I thought put on some good performances.
Yeah, Goldust was like looking.
I want more promos from those guys.
God, yeah, Goldust had a like real solid year. Yeah.
He's done now, so.
Yeah. Ms. Dow. Worked so much better than it should have.
Yeah.
Because both of them really, like they both do a really good job with it. But I mean, every time Damian Sandow's outside the ring doing his mimicking. Ooh,
I would say why it's just for that brief. I really like the brief run that Harper and Rowan had by themselves. At least for throwing that out there. I'm trying to think of anything
really
else.
They were really good together.
So I don't like the Dubstep Cowboys, not the Lucha Dragons, not Ascension.
No.
What else has been going on? A Tommy Balor was okay for a while.
I thought, they had a kind of a cool little. It couldn't last, but
yeah,
they had a cool little run.
Was there anybody else? El Torito, Slater Gator.
No.
That's so bad.
No. I think right. They're up. You already have them kind of in an order. But I would, man.
I mean, okay, so Shield and Miz Dows are in for me. Yeah. It's between Gold Dust, Upper Cats. I don't think I love the Vaude Villains in concept. They haven't gone over the top with me yet. So Gold Dust.
They should have probably been on the best gimmick list somehow.
Oh yeah. Shit! Yeah. Okay. They're in the running. They didn't make the finals. Okay. Done.
Right.
So Goldust Stardust versus Upper Cats is kind of, because Upper Cats is so new, and they haven't leaned quite into it yet. Like we like them for their ring work and for you know.
But their character work is pretty good too.
Whenever they like try to push Natalya out,
yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah,
but like Stardust, like the way Cody embraced Stardust and that character was phenomenal.
Yeah, I love Stardust.
What a great character gimmick.
How did Stardust not make? Fuck.
Wait. We need to go back.
No, I mean, okay.
Especially what he's done recently too. Like
I would put Stardust in there over Enzo and Cass.
Yes, I would too.
Yeah, right. I would too.
All right, this is our show. We can do what we want. New finalists for best character gimmick. Bray still wins. His interest still wins.
Talk it out.
Yeah,
sometimes.
The Stardust is in the finals there. All right.
Yeah, cool. You guys, I don't know if you've checked out his YouTube interviews, but they're way better than anything he's doing on TV.
God, he's so good.
Well, it's like he's putting so much work into it. I don't think they can go back to Cody Rhodes. Like,
anyway, great. But I would take them. I would put them in this over the Uppercuts as well.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Uppercuts. Maybe you'll come through in 2015. I have to give it to the Shield, just because of that first quarter run. Like they just they became the reason I was watching. Granted, you could do that whole arc with the year before, but they still had that impact. And Josh and I are immortalized on their documentary, so
that's right. I'm fine with that.
Mizdow's are close second, but
they don't have the wettest hair.
They don't what, Josh?
They have the wettest hair, I think too.
Oh, the Shield, yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We as they're waiting at the top of the stairs to come down, we saw the water flowing down the stairs from when they poured it on their heads.
All right, so breakout superstar is this. This is just the impact they've had. Like, how do we want to separate this from superstar of the year, which is later? Like,
I think breakout can be superstar of the year.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But so this would, but they're new this year,
or they've broken away. Real singles run, yeah, like a Seth Rollins.
Okay, so Seth Rollins is apparently nominated for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and Ambrose.
Yep.
Would you throw Ziggler in there? Okay.
No, okay. I don't think this is. I think he'll be a superstar. I think
Kevin Owens.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Finn Balor.
Oh yeah, Balor.
Sami Zayn.
Oh yeah. Sami Zayn had a hell of a year. Neville. I mean, I guess Neville did too, but did he?
Yeah.
I think it's worth nominating him.
Those are the big four for me. For
let's see, yeah, the breakouts.
I mean, Kevin Owens hasn't even done well that much yet, but he's got to be in there, I think.
Cole, you have a big one. I think that's got to be yours.
Tyler Breeze.
Oh. I thought you were gonna go with Sasha Banks.
Oh yeah, Sasha Banks too.
So Sasha Banks and Charlotte are,
both of them
at the top of my list.
Paige,
sure, yeah. Although there's no way she's gonna hit in that top three because of they've done with her. It's not her fault, but
wait, did you? Oh, never mind. Oh, weird. Okay.
I thought Damian Sandow was great. Honorable mention though, because his in-ring work is almost non-existent. They didn't do much with him, but going from his every week crowd trolling gimmicks to which best character gimmick just in general, maybe there too, but his stunt double thing was just so good.
Brock Lesnar.
No.
Okay.
Not a breakout superstar.
I hated him at the beginning of the year. Okay, I'll revisit that later.
No, superstar for sure.
Best penis sword tattoo.
Rusev.
Barack Lesnar.
I'll put Rusev in here.
Man, those first three that you have in there, man, this is a tough category.
I'm going through the main roster right now. Hold on. So yeah, I mean, I think we're okay, but I want to. We can get so focused on NXT.
Well, everyone's debuting on NXT now, and everybody that's on the main roster is. That I think had good years is
the New Day. Oh, that just makes
it didn't change.
Makes me so mad for or so sad for Xavier Woods. I really
I know. Luke Harper should be on this list.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, I'm out of space, but I'll figure it out.
Insert lines here.
I guess that would be easier. Let's see. Adam Rose. No. Sheamus. Sorry. Just scrolling through these pay-per-view stuff.
I mean, I think we got
Cesaro. Would be the only other name I can.
I wish Cesaro. Okay. All right. I'm content.
But yeah, I think out of that list, we're going to get our top ones. Oh, man, this is tough.
I really want Sasha Banks on that list.
She's been so good.
Yeah, but I don't think she can.
I don't see a way. I don't. I mean, it's Sasha and Finn. Finn's on his way up still, so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Sami Zayn was involved in a bunch of really good matches this year.
He became, I mean, it's just that Kevin Owens trumped him. Like, I'd be okay with swapping Sammy for Kevin.
Yeah, but Kevin, so that's a little bit newer. Like, from our timeline that we've got here, who did more throughout the, I mean, because just like Finn, Kevin Owens is going to keep, you know, like, this will be a category for him.
What'd you say, Cole?
I think that's a fair assessment.
Sammy for Kevin?
Sammy's been doing a lot more this whole year than Kevin Owens.
Okay, let's do that.
Charlotte.
But yeah. Charlotte too.
No, I'd take Sasha over Charlotte, honestly.
I don't know, and I'm really like
Charlotte will have her time.
As much as I love Dean Ambrose, like that Wyatt thing kind of killed a lot of momentum he had.
But I think he's made this Intercontinental stuff himself. I don't know the way he's improvising from not.
Yeah, but he can't just go for the last 2 months.
No, he had the Shield run and he had a good summer. Like it was all Rollins and Ambrose for the summer, and then they forgot about him. But he's still doing stuff. Like, I mean. So who are you arguing in place of Ambrose?
I don't know.
Kevin Owens?
No, I would pick Neville over Owens.
Okay. I'm okay with this list.
I think one NXT guy is enough just based on the amount of work Rollins and Ambrose did over anybody in NXT.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
So, I mean, I've got like Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville in like most of my favorite matches of the year.
Yeah.
As far as like people on this list. Seth Rollins
wins it.
Has to be
there. So good. Oh, God.
He wins it, yeah.
Fuck. He was like,
Rollins and Owens.
He wasn't the guy everybody expected to go heel.
No, because we were all.
He's done it so well. He's really good on the mic. Personality comes through, and his matches are great.
And he sent out nudie pics this year, so.
Yep.
Yep.
How many dongs did you see from coming out of other superstars?
All right, now we're on to worst moment or story. We're going to counter that with the best. Huh?
Big Show and Kane.
Bunny.
Roman Reigns winning Royal Rumble.
Rumble booking.
In general, yeah, but that moment.
Let's see here.
Cesaro.
Cesaro booking.
Cesaro booking, Ziggler booking after the Survivor Series.
I thought the Ghost was pretty terrible.
Yeah, I'd say.
If that hologram had been Tupac instead, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Cena.
The little boy.
How about Wyatt feuds?
Okay.
Like the potential versus
Wyatt cage match things.
The Corbin Dempsey no DQ match.
Oh, that was so bad.
Mojo Rawley.
general.
Yeah. Let's go back to some of these other.
So I thought the Bella feud was, that story was god awful.
Except the ending was all right.
Their acting was bad.
Yeah.
It dragged on too long.
I could ignore it though because it wasn't for the belt, and Stephanie made it pay off.
You're
talking about post like the assistant shit, and then all of a sudden she's bad and aligning with Nikki.
Okay, I'd be okay with Bree's heel turn because it just never really.
Also
happened.
the Brian affair.
Yeah, I'd say
Oh, that was just gross. That was dumb.
I think the assistant stuff and the heel turner. I don't think the affair thing had as big of a impact as I think they tried to shove it under the rug.
Yeah, but it's the worst
for a reason. Yeah. But for a good reason.
It's the worst moment of the year. That's why.
Yeah.
All right.
That was crap.
Okay.
No,
that's fine.
Like what? It was super tasteless and bad. I thought it was dumb. Like what? Like no one bought it. But it was just gross.
Why would you even bring it up? Like obviously these two just got married. Like what's the point of? Like their lives are being shown on Total Divas and like in the documentary about his rise to WrestleMania. Why would you do that?
El Torito. I just saw here.
Yeah, the El Torito Hornswoggle thing when that was happening every week for a while, I thought was real dumb. It was like, and then it culminated in WLC.
That WLC match wasn't terrible.
No, to their credit, their performance.
El Torito can wrestle.
Yeah. But it's the package around it and just the idea of it in general, I think. It's
three-man band involved, that's why.
The Ascension debut?
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. Those outfits, worst gimmick. I put it on my list, but I thought just there were some moments where Yosemite Sam was when the Real Americans the breakup happened. And then
were they racist after the breakup?
There were just some. There were some moments. At one point, he had a sign where he was like, it was just kept on talking about closing the borders or deporting people and stuff. And it was just, I thought it was real tasteless. I thought it was really bad.
I think it was a lot worse the year before, though.
Yeah,
than it was this year.
But I'll put it in there. Paige's character.
Yeah.
I hate how they booked all that stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, that was just lame, I guess, or just. Yeah. I thought it was real meh.
Cena Wyatt.
I think we have enough on here.
Sure. I'm looking for big pay per view moments. No, they all kind of. All right.
I mean, the Big Show and Kane Rumble booking can kind of probably go together.
No, because they keep continuing. Like that is a continuing thing. I'm fine with separating.
Well, no, I'm saying like it's Big Show and Kane is the Rumble booking, sort of.
Kind of. There were other solutions. I'm okay with separating for right now until we get this all figured out. All right, so
Kane, it's bad. Big Show's, he's whatever, and I don't like when they put him at the front, but. It's like Kane hasn't been good on the mic his entire career, and that character, the corporate character, is his worst character, and then they end up doubling down on it. So there was that moment where they bring out the mask, and they're like, oh, the demon's coming back. I thought that was really, really dumb.
Yeah.
However,
the devil's favorite demon?
Yeah.
I could swap Big Show Kane for devil's favorite demon, any of that stuff. That was awful.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
Okay, so I'll do that.
That's terrible.
Okay, so I narrowed it down for me. Devil's favorite demon, the bunny, Rumble booking, Daniel Bryan cheating with the assistant or counselor? What was she?
Yeah, something like that.
Cheating Daniel Bryan.
I would put that over Bunny, and then that's it, the top three.
An Ascension debut was my other one, but okay. Really,
I already hated the Ascension. So
you moved on from the bunny.
Mattered. It never mattered to me.
But it was around for a long time, and it never had a payoff. And Adam Rose and
well, that's because he quit.
And it was on a pay per view. The bunny quit.
Yeah, Justin Gabriel quit.
Was it Gabriel?
Justin Gabriel then?
Well, he was in the bunny suit. I don't know if they were going to reveal him as Justin Gabriel, but it was Justin Gabriel wrestling as the bunny. You can tell like some of the moves that he did that were like, oh, that's Justin Gabriel.
Yeah, everyone said it.
Sometimes it was Sami Zayn, though, too.
All right, so cheating Daniel Bryan.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
All right, so who wins? Dable's Heart of Damon, cheating Daniel Bryan, or Rumble booking?
They're all dumb. Or they're all bad.
Rumble booking is my vote.
Rumble booking is pretty awful.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
We all hated it. That's where everyone's can't. I mean,
it made
that started
me feel really bad. Like, I was so upset after watching that pay per view that it put me in a depressive state.
Everyone's canceled. Canceling their subscriptions. Some of us did it. And then I did. It was
for 10 days.
It was, we all resubscribed eventually, but just because of NXT.
But it's an interesting way to communicate that stuff too.
It was trending on Twitter. Like, they didn't talk about that one.
All right. Halfway home, best moment or story. So the good stuff.
Lesnar, Cena.
Yeah.
16 Germans.
It's some slam.
I like how the streak is neither best or worst to me. The streak ending.
It was the perfect start to the Lesnar building him up.
Absolutely.
And then and when he killed Cena, that would cemented it.
And Owens,
Sammy winning the title, losing the title.
Yep, that whole sequence. The betrayal. I mean, the betrayal, and those are almost two moments.
Sammy's whole storyline in 2015, 2014, like everything about it.
But I want
to.
From the rise to the step backs because of he lost to the rebirth and like going.
Sure, but I need to give Owen some billing in that too.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Like credit to the writers for that night of the him winning it and the Owens betrayal.
That's true.
Story. Because that was like the end to that or that story for that night, like I think is.
Yeah, it had an ending in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
What else you got?
Shield breakup.
Yeah. Yeah. They did that
was really good.
Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania?
Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, of course.
That was really good. I think this is like the lead up to that. I want to say like on my list we haven't talked about, but there was one Raw where Triple H, it's a couple Raws in a row, I think, where Triple H is beating the crap out of Bryan, and they were doing this thing where like, oh, he's hurt, like is he going to be able to even make it to WrestleMania, that kind of thing, as they're trying to keep him down. But Triple H beats on Bryan one Raw for like 20 minutes, like at the end of the show. It just beats on him and beats on him, handcuffed, and he's beating him up while he's handcuffed, and it was like real nasty. And that's how, and it just went on for way, it was like at first you're like, oh dang, and then it went on way too long. It was pretty messed up, it's just like another one of those things where they're like, damn, they're doing the heel thing just right with Triple H and Steph. She's like yelling in his face and Triple H is beating the crap out of him. I like that.
Mizdow stunts. Sure. I'd say the Sasha Banks Charlotte feud.
Yeah, definitely.
That was pretty good. I mean, that was just those are just good matches. Like the story behind was kind of non-existent.
But the arc of their matches to Sasha winning and defending, like I still, they do such a good job of just like pulling things from previous matches and like learn. Yeah, that's across NXT. That's not just them, but.
Well, and it's probably nice to point it out that they had the great series of matches and everyone gave a shit, and they didn't have to do some dumb gimmicks around it.
Yeah.
And by the way, her matches with Alexa Bliss the last couple of weeks have been phenomenal as well.
Yeah.
Lexi's she's coming along. I'd say Ziggler at Survivor Series.
Yeah, that was one I thought of too.
I was putting some like moves and stuff on my list, but I think the
no, that's fine.
Triple H and Stephanie getting fired.
Oh, she her little, yeah.
Yeah.
Her little
pant like, meltdown.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you have some spots you wanted to?
Rollins at that first Shield Evolution.
Yeah.
Match going off the balcony.
Yep.
That was pretty good. That was people jump off stuff. He jumps off stuff.
Yeah.
All the time. That was the one that kind of was.
Then I also
caught me off guard, and I really thought was most impressive. And I really, really liked the RKO Batista bomb combo on Daniel Bryan, where Randy just impales himself on a monitor. Oh, that was so brutal. It was just, I don't know.
You're not injured. You're winning. I'd say Rollins and Ambrose on top of the Hell in Cell.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was cool.
Hell in the Cell. I made a new word there. Gosh, I don't really have a Bray Wyatt moment. That's telling. That's too bad. Really? What other moments?
I mean, did he have... He didn't really...
He had all the hokey bullshit this year.
Oh, shit. That Rollins elbow to...
Yeah, Lesnar.
God, that was the best elbow since Macho... That was a Macho Man elbow.
Yep. Completely. Stephanie McMahon's outfit. Stephanie McMahon SummerSlam. pick a Heyman promo.
Yeah.
God, his promos. Even now, they get a little long in the tooth. Nah. We see that, kind of hear similar ones, but he somehow every single time it comes on, I'm like not excited for it, and then he gets going.
Yeah,
and I'm always impressed.
The one he's dropped in Las Vegas when they gave Lesnar the new title was like 20 minutes of just amazing, just nonstop Heyman for 20 minutes.
Stardust debut. Whoa, lost everybody. Everybody's back. Weird. Stardust debut.
Yeah, that sounds good.
We've got our three though.
We've got plenty. Yeah, we don't.
So I get into like making sure we're not missing something weird.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
But
we can always go back like we've already done with our gimmick.
Yeah. All right. Oh shit. Okay. Does Daniel Bryan WrestleMania not make it? Like
no, it does. It's on there. It has to be
over the Shield breakup.
Yeah. For me personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to see
I think over any... the Shield breakup, but I think this is gonna be tough because
oh no Steph.
Yeah.
I mean these are awesome moments, so
yeah, but she with the Shield stuff and Daniel Bryan stuff and probably there's a bunch of other stuff on this list where she was involved or with the setup and the build up.
Okay. Maybe yeah. I'll just get her for Superstar of the Year, it'd be fine.
Oh man, how do we? So it's Daniel. So Daniel Bryan WrestleMania, Lesnar Cena SummerSlam, Zayn
Owens.
And Owens. That.
My God. I will say on the scale of everything that happened.
Okay, so I'm okay with
Daniel Bryan WrestleMania would win for me.
I would say
because of the scale and how big it was compared to a Zayn and Owens, which was only
in a small. My best moment is still Lesnar Cena. So,
oh, I'm actually going to say Zayn Owens because I think it's the wait. Okay, so let me just and I'll. I'm not going to keep fighting for it or anything necessarily, but let me just give my pitch on it.
Sure.
So, versus the others, I think so. Daniel Bryan WrestleMania thing that was. That was cool, but it was like the fans
yeah,
dictating that, and WWE finally listening to them, which is also a big, I mean, that's a big thing to take note of too. But I think the Zayn Owens thing, Cole said it earlier, that was the best writing story stuff that we saw all year. Like, that was the best. It wasn't a huge long thing. It was like one show, but that's also impressive that we actually gave a shit. We had our highs, and then like the ultimate high, we're like, you know, tearing up, like so happy to the one of the best timed heel turns like ever, all in one show in that tiny little Full Sail arena. Like, it was so impressive. When that happened, we were all just blown up.
A damn good pitch.
I'm as gleeful, as euphoric as I was during that Lesnar-Cena match at SummerSlam. I'm going to take a step back. I'd be okay with either Zayn Owens, Daniel Bryan winning, because I also just saw the parallel between the two. As I kind of mentioned with the Daniel Bryan stuff of, you know, the opening match kind of setting the story for WrestleMania and then the conclusion and how awesome that was and just overcoming the odds. But the Owens Zayn stuff also was the entire show, because Owens opened that. And I mean, so at the time, the Daniel Bryan stuff, I was like, this is pretty cool. Like, WWE's telling a really good story here. Like, it was just like 8 out of 10. Just I approve of everything in here, but the amount that I marked out during St. Owens and how surprising as it was, and I watched that and the Lesnar Cena match with you, Cole, and yeah. I definitely had a bigger reaction to Zayn Owens. So I guess I'm in the Zayn Owens court. So,
well, I'll say this: Daniel Bryan winning the title at WrestleMania is the best moment of the year, whereas Zayn and Owens for me is the best storyline.
Yeah.
Okay. The other vote for Daniel Bryan WrestleMania is it got me to watch the rest of the year. Had WrestleMania not been as good as it was, who knows? Like, I probably would have still, I mean, I still would have got the network and whatever, but
that was, it was cool. It, like, seeing that just gigantic crowd just blowing up. Yeah. More people saw that, you know, it did have like a bigger, way bigger impact. And it was, we know that they had a plan that wasn't that.
I could go either way.
And then they listened and yeah, I mean, it's like right there. And I think you might be right. Although also real close second best moment, the actual Owens heel turn.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because that one was really comfortable. But yeah, I mean, the WrestleMania moment was the biggest impact.
I'm okay with it. Because, yeah.
Either one, whatever. As long as the Zayn Owens thing is on the list.
Yeah.
It's like with a real close to kind of thing.
Because
that was so good.
All right, worst match now. Sorry. So best moment, Daniel Bryan winning WrestleMania and the whole WrestleMania story. Runners-up, Lesnar and Cena at SummerSlam, and I'd just say Zayn Owens at that pay-per-view as well. Like, just wrapping that up.
Yeah. So.
Yep. And Neville gets his credit for being a part of that too, a big part of it.
Yeah.
The little kick away of the hand and the hug.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, that match, yeah. Zayn Owens, Neville.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Worst match. We'll probably stick to pay-per-views here, because if we pulled in Raw...
Worst major match.
The Bunny was on a pay-per-view. Where was the Bunny?
Kane and Ryback. Adam Rose and the Bunny versus Slater Gator.
Bunny versus Slater Gator.
Kane.
Kane Ryback, yeah. Kane, that was Kane the chair Ryback. Match, right?
Show and Rowan.
Ascension, New Age Outlaws.
Yeah.
The Usos.
So the interesting thing I've heard with the Usos is consider the alternative sometimes as far as what the other tag teams are, and that you know what you're getting with the Usos. If you took out their entrance for me, and just let, like, if they were the mat, no, I was going to say, I don't like the Matadors entrance either, but if they were, like, masked characters that had, didn't talk to the crowd and just did moves, I might be able to get through their matches better.
What? Are you kidding? I didn't know you're such a big fan of Super Kicks.
I am when they're done by the Young Bucks.
The Usos are those, I think, the worst performers on the main roster. They're consistently terrible. They're garbage. Even their like high flying moves are, they're like, everyone outdoes them on NXT. Like, they're terrible. Usos are so bad. I can't believe you're defending them.
I'm defending them over somebody like Adam Rose, but not.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
well, Adam Rose, he's, that's okay, but Adam he's Rose also not going to last. Right.
Layla Summer Rae.
Yo, thank you. Thank you.
I think that's about it, really, for the worst.
Everything else is like
middle of the road to good.
Where was this? That rest of that Rumble was pretty bad. Oh no. We've got Ascension. What was the other really Night of Champions, man?
The thing is, you don't remember the bad ones because you just tune them out.
It's like Orton Jericho. Rusev's fine.
I think that's about it.
Oh, Adam Rose, Damian Sandow. No, never mind.
That, like, I said that already. Did you get that?
No.
Baron Corbin versus Bull Dempsey.
Yeah.
That was pretty poopy.
There was no weapons or anything.
It would just be another okay match if they hadn't put the no DQ on it, but they decided to do it and not use it. Like,
did Batista not have any stinkers?
No, because he was with the Evolution.
What about it? That was before WrestleMania. So
yeah, you're right.
All
right.
Because we actually liked Sandow's Paul Revere character, so I'll give.
Yeah, that's true.
Bunny versus Slater, Gator, Kane Ryback. Oh no, that stairs match was terrible. I'd almost. Layla Summer Rae. Let's see here. I've got.
I mean, yeah, but I guess, do we have any expectations for Layla and Summer Rae? No.
But it's more, I guess it's more of, it was terrible for what it was too. Like, and it's kind of also being on a pay-per-view is ridiculous. So, cause I didn't think the Ascension, New Age Outlaw, that was a pretty bad match. That's old guys versus, I don't know. Ascension's moves were pretty rough. All right. So basically I cut two of them. You guys cut something else for me.
You've got a match with. You got. Oh, you want to. Boy, I don't know. Kane is just everything he does, I think, is the worst. I mean, Bunny Slater Gator. I don't know. That's just a gimmicky thing. I don't remember Big Show Rowan.
It was the stairs.
It was terrible.
Like, I just don't remember, like, anything about it.
I mean, exactly. I think it was worse than...
Right. It was forgettable, man.
I thought it was worse than Kane Ryback, personally. Unless we just throw them out and I just throw Layla Summer Rae into that top list there.
That was a dumb match. I remember a little bit about that. I remember hating it.
How about that? How about... Check this. Bunny Slater Gator, Layla Summer Rae, Ascension New Age Outlaws.
I hate anything that's got, it's the total divas promo. I think it's garbage.
I don't care about any of these matches to even fight. they're just all terrible. So if whatever you guys want to go with,
I'm going to go with Layla Summer Rae.
Okay.
I hate Fandango that much. He was the ref too. And it was just, and he's making out with both of them during the match or something.
You're right. That stuff was the worst. That was the worst crap on TV. So, yep.
All
right.
We got it. We nailed
Correct.
All right. Worst pay-per-view. Let's get the bad news out of the way. I believe Night of Champions was the one I wrote down.
TLC.
Yeah.
TLC was bad. I put Rumble.
Yep.
Yeah, Rumble was pretty
bad. Rumble had one good match.
I mean, I think that's it, really.
I'm probably okay with that. Fastlane was sure.
Especially considering how much we look forward to the Rumble.
Battleground's pretty weak. That was The Miz running the Battle Royal. Cena, Kane, Reigns, Orton for the title. Yeah, I put that as a fourth one, but we'll see where that lands.
Yeah, that one was.
I might put that over.
Yeah, because I remember being disappointed in that. Like after WrestleMania, the next couple ones were pretty good, and then they started to go downhill.
I would put that in over TLC. Well, let's compare Night of Champions. It's one of those two.
No, Night of Champions is the worst.
TLC had the Ziggler Harper. So
yeah. That was its best match, and then
that's true. And then
Battleground was pretty poopy.
Rollins and Cena was pretty good at TLC, so take TLC off.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was your other one? Night of Champions.
Yeah, I think that's
that might actually. Rumble has one of my favorite matches in the Triple Threat. Right. Everything else is kind of terrible. Is that? Kid Cesaro. No, it's
yeah,
been,
but
it's bummed out at Night of Champions after a strong.
But, okay, look at this. Okay, Rumble is pretty terrible. It's Rumble or Night of Champions. So
it's you're right. It had a good match on it, but it also had the worst. And it's the Royal Rumble. It's one of one of the big ones.
Beyond that, it's also had that Ascension New Age Outlaws match.
Yep, you're right. Rumble.
All right, Royal Rumble, worst pay-per-view of the year, followed by Night of Champions Battleground.
We can't let that shit slide.
Yep. Good. Right. We're making a case. Okay, now, good news. Best pay-per-view, WrestleMania is in there.
Yeah. TakeOver 3, our Evolution.
Is that the...
It's
probably two of them. Yeah, that's the stand-up. But I'm going to put Fatal 4-Way in there, too. No, shit.
And or Rival?
No, oh, yeah. Rivals. Shit. I would say Rival. Is Rival stronger? Rival's stronger.
Rival has Owen Zane, the amazing women's four-way match.
Revolution and Rival. Okay.
Balor Neville was nuts.
Yeah. SummerSlam?
Yeah.
What else did SummerSlam have?
Ziggler and Miz, Rollins and Ambrose in that lumberjack match.
Steph,
Brie Bella. Orton and Reigns, Jericho and Wyatt, Rusev and Swagger in the flag match. AJ Rampage. It's pretty good.
Yep, I'm okay with that.
I think that's about it, though.
Money in the Bank. Two ladder matches.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. Oh, no. I think we're okay. I think we're okay with it. All right. So is SummerSlam in over one of those NXT shows? I think so. No. And I would say the Owens NXT makes it in there, but not the most recent one. So SummerSlam.
Yeah. Pull Rival.
Okay.
Do you want to fight for it?
No.
Okay. All right.
I enjoyed Rival more than I enjoyed SummerSlam.
I'm okay with fighting for it. If we SummerSlam really might be moments more than show. Let's look at Rival again.
Yeah, I mean, Rival.
But Baron Corbin, Bull Dempsey, terrible.
Blake Murphy, Lucha Dragons was poo. Sure, but you have four matches on there.
The four matches.
Four matches versus
SummerSlam's best four.
Yeah.
So SummerSlam's best four: Ziggler and The Miz, Rollins and Ambrose, Stephanie and Brie, and Lesnar and Cena.
And I'm still with SummerSlam. Rival. Where are you at, Josh?
Now I think. Man, what were you saying earlier, Cole, about that women's match?
Yep.
That it was the best women's match I've ever seen.
All right. The Balor-Neville match was nuts. I was blown up about that one. I was texting you guys.
All right.
Oh, let's do this. Owens and Zayn, Lesnar and Cena, they're a wash, right?
I have to see where it's going, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I think if you break it down,
it's fine. Rivals, I mean, I'm on board.
Okay. Rivals then.
Because, yeah, when you do, they both have four matches that you want to put up against each other, and I think NXT
match is better.
Yep.
Balor and Neville could compete with the Rollins Ambrose Lumberjack match, and then the Tommy Breeze is probably better than Ziggler and The Miz.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just like
it. All right. So, is it between. Okay.
It's WrestleMania 30.
Let's look at that whole fucking list.
It has to be. It has to be.
Shield. Oh, no. But they had Shield fight the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah, but that was a good match. It was a good match, though.
Okay, I like
They murdered them in like five minutes.
I remember when I...
right.
All right, what? Do we want to go match by match?
Daniel Bryan, Triple H is better than anything on that rival card.
Yep. Daniel Bryan, Orton Batista is also probably...
better than everything on that card.
Oh, you're saying you're going with rival over Evolution?
Yeah, I would say Rival over Evolution.
I think Evolution is my show.
Hold on.
It's Kevin Owens' debut. Dragons
right.
Vaudeville.
Never mind. You're right. Yeah.
Whoa. It's the Zayn Neville match.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I was going down the card.
Thanks.
The names are so terrible, I got confused.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, our Evolution was the one we've been talking about this whole time. Best story stuff or whatever. But, you know, we gave the best moment or story to Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania stuff.
I'm okay with WrestleMania.
Was it also the best match? Were his matches better than the Zayn Owens?
It twice. In two incredible matches.
That Triple H, do not forget how awesome that Triple H match was either. Like, it doesn't get...
No, the, you're right. Yeah. You're right, it was.
No, I'm on board, because... Yeah. I mean, the weak point is Undertaker showing and the Divas cleanser. Yeah. But
Under the Giant Battle Royale was really fun.
Yeah, we were into it because we were first.
Shield destroyed Kane in the New Age Outlaws.
Which was good because I remember thinking like,
didn't Billy Gunn get injured during that match?
Yeah, I think his like
ass
blew out or something.
Oh no!
Like he had some internal bleeding or something.
All right,
the true ass man.
Yeah.
And how often can we really say WrestleMania is the best show? Like, it's weird because it's our first one, but I'm okay. WrestleMania wins. Our Evolution and NXT Rival are the runners-up there. So best women's match. What are the runners-up?
Charlotte and Sasha.
Yep.
Charlotte and Bailey.
Charlotte, yeah.
Charlotte and Natalya. Is that recounting that one? We're not counting that one.
You just said them in order from second to fourth place.
Yeah. And then the four way wins.
Yeah.
We're done. There's no one else even worth a mention, right? I mean, did Paige have anything that was worth?
No. I mean, that was the most frustrating thing going through that. Yeah. Like, shit. I mean,
there were maybe some matches.
I think
on there,
like the two Sasha Banks and Alexa. Yeah. Bliss matches after this, like
I think of the main roster pay-per-view women's matches, I mean, McMahon and Brie Bella the best. So
well, that's not on
and that, that
no
for different
not.
Reasons, like for storytelling reasons, and for Stephanie's outfit.
The on the weekly NXT show, the rematch of Charlotte Banks,
was even better than
nuts. Yeah. That was better than their. I thought that was that was better than their like pay per view.
Weekly right. TV, not the pay per view.
All right, four way.
Yeah, it wins.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and nominate that, and we're gonna move on to best match, and the four way the four way women's match gets thrown in there.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Zayn Neville.
Yep.
Balor, Neville.
Yep.
From Arrival. Zayn Cesaro from Arrival?
Nope. No, that's
too early.
Too early.
Too early? Unfortunately. Okay. Yeah,
unfortunately.
Shield Wyatt's at Elimination Chamber? That's too early. EC? Is that right?
Cena Lesnar.
Oh, no, you can't do Elimination Chamber.
Damn it. Oh.
What'd you say? Cena Lesnar. Yeah.
SummerSlam.
Yeah. Triple threat. Cena, Lesnar, Rollins.
Rollins, yeah.
The Shield Evolution.
Extreme Rules?
Yes. Okay, I did at least. This should be faster. Brian, Triple H.
Rollins, yeah. Ambrose Rollins, Hell in a Cell.
Yep.
Triple Threat, WrestleMania 30. Ziggler, Harper, ladder match.
What was it? What Ziggler?
That was.
What'd you say before Ziggler?
Triple Harper. Threat, WWE 30, WrestleMania 30. I mean.
Oh yeah.
Man, that Elimination Chamber match right before WrestleMania last year. I had on my list and I didn't even realize when it was, but shout out. Holy shit, that match.
Lesnar Undertaker. I wish I could say that. There's a biggie.
CM Punk and...
the WWE.
The WWE, yeah.
Seth Ambrose Lumberjack? I think I like that better than the Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, I think I did too.
I'll put that instead.
Yeah, that was good.
I mean, they just had that moment in the Hell in the Cell.
What match was it where Cena threw some stairs from inside the ring at somebody on the outside?
That was at Bray. That was
Bray Wyatt. Yeah,
and that was WrestleMania, I think. It was either WrestleMania or
Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules. Yeah. That was good.
That was pretty good.
I like how I put nothing for Night of Champions. I think we might have gotten it. Is there any other NXT stuff we're missing while I'm looking through here? Reigns, Bryan.
Do we want to mention Owens and Zayn here?
Probably.
It won't be down. That's some a of
storytelling one.
No. But yeah, it's good.
Okay, what else? Poor Tyson Kidd. Oh, no. I'd say the four-way in Fatal 4. Yeah. Four-way NXT.
Breeze and Owens. Or not Owens. Breeze, Neville, Zayn, and Kidd.
Yeah. All right.
Was it on a pay-per-view? I thought what? I don't see it on the list, but I thought there was an NXT tag, kind of like a tag exhibition kind of thing on one of those where Zayn and Neville were fighting.
There's a tag tournament, but I think it was
Cesaro and Kidd or something. No, because I remember it was or maybe they showed up on Raw. Damn it, it was Raw.
Yep.
Yeah, because then they did Charlotte as well. Okay, never mind.
They brought Charlotte in to lose, yeah.
It was amazing, though. Like, people that probably have never seen NXT got to see some crazy match.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So there are three on this list, right? So
yeah, there are.
I think the women's match stays.
I'm okay with that.
I agree. Especially,
I think...
Unbelievable.
Cena Lesnar was... pretty good.
I think it bumps Finn and Neville.
I'm going to go ahead and get rid of Balor Neville.
You thought Zayn Neville was better than Balor?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
The whole storyline.
Okay. Yeah.
Shield Evolution Extreme Rules probably out of here. I really like this triple threat. Shield Evolution. I'm moving stuff around, so... You guys,
how high are you guys on that Brian Triple H?
It was a really good match.
Better than
I'm moving Owen Zane down in the four-way NXT men's. So
I think you move Cena Lesnar up, and then that's it for me.
Cena Lesnar over the triple threat.
I don't think the triple threat's better than the three above it.
Okay. Man, we're going to find a way to sneak in that Ziggler-Harper match. And so it's funny because I think it's like you combine the Bryan Triple H WrestleMania match with the Triple Threat WrestleMania match,
mm-hmm.
and you get a conversation. But we all love that Cena Lesnar SummerSlam. Okay,
best okay. moment or story that got it to do.
All right, yeah. So Zane Neville, no. Zane Neville's pretty good.
I think that's the three.
Can I give it to Cena Lesnar? As a match, as the.
It wasn't a wrestling match though. It was a complete destruction. It was murder.
It was murder. Best murder moment of the year.
Riyadh, are you with the women's four-way, Cole? Are you with Zane Neville? I guess those are your only two choices.
What if I started a This Is Wrestling chant? What's the match you think of? What do you think?
Zane Neville.
It's the top two. The top two.
It's the four-way. It's the four-way women's match. Because that chant was actually happening.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah, I mean... Oh.
I'm okay with either the four-way or Zayn and Neville winning, but okay. I'm leaning towards the women's match.
Okay. I'm okay. I'm giving up on SummerSlam, so tell me, so, Josh.
Wait. So the SummerSlam thing was something...
Monumental.
That...
Totally unexpected.
That was something we've never seen like that. Something that lopsided in a main event like that at one of the big four, and it was Cena... No one saw it coming. And it was... And
everybody expected Cena to win.
So give it... And I was saying this earlier. Huge props to Cena for taking all of those terrible bumps. Like I can't believe that he didn't get seriously hurt in that match. It looked... Some of those suplexes looked just gross. Like,
yep.
Oh... God, and Lesnar pouring it on like you could tell, like he's, you know, I mean,
anytime he sticks his tongue out, I work out.
That kind of like non-stop beating, like you can't, like guys like big, okay. like that, they usually blow up, you know, like they're gonna just be
purple.
It's gonna be right. It's gonna be the one I remember, honestly. Well, actually, yeah.
I don't think so, not for me.
Where are you at, Josh? Are you trying to pull me into SummerSlam, or are you
giving it to me? I think Josh is right. It's not, it was a murder and beating. It wasn't necessarily two guys working together to put on.
Let's go, Cena!
Cena sucks.
Let's go.
He kept doing it even. Oh man. Kid couldn't count to 16.
Like, the crowd wasn't necessarily eating out of their hands like it was in the women's and Zayn and Neville match. Just because it was such a beatdown, like, yeah, going into that match, it was not expected, but, like, during the match, you're just, like, the crowd is just kind of, holy shit, Cena's getting his ass kicked, whereas, you know, the other two, like, and that could be the nature of the NXT beast, too, is, like, the crowd is super hot.
Yeah. Sell me on the women's match. I need some help.
It's the greatest display of women's wrestling ever.
I want some highlights, I want to paint the picture, everybody
had their spot.
Everybody had their spot in the match, and for me personally, outside of Becky Lynch, the other three women could have gone to either of them. Also, the champion got her fucking ass kicked.
She did. Because it took all of them to bring her down, so that, yeah.
Took all of them to bring her down.
So for the
story of the match was just phenomenal.
So it's a two-way, it's either SummerSlam or the women's match for me. God, it's SummerSlam because it's so memorable, but the women's match is also memorable from just that moment, but like SummerSlam to me was like
what's
going to
be more memorable
to
you? Yeah.
SummerSlam was a turning point in WWE storytelling for me, like, because I've just never seen anything like that.
Absolutely. And then they kept the champion off the TV for 6 months, you know, or, you know,
I'm okay with that. I came to grips with that.
No, I am too. I'm just saying, like, it changed the way that they're going to tell their stories. And it kind of started the Lesnar face turn, the accidental face turn. Like,
turned on me.
You're talking me into SummerSlam at this point.
I mean, NXT's got two out of the three nominees here, and they're just.
All right, let's think of it like this. Would that women's match and Zayn and Neville have played in a SummerSlam audience as well as it did in front of an NXT crowd?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't have, but this is also our show, so I won't hold that against it. Like,
guys, I'm listening, but I'm also watching. So WWE has like a highlight video from that four-way.
Yeah.
It's like 3 minutes halfway in, and I've already seen like some of the best, most creative spots. Yeah. Like, holy shit. Sasha Banks taking Charlotte and whipping her into a, like, making her spear. Becky Lynch by like.
Oh, what was that one Bayley spot?
Like whipping her?
She, like, we thought like somebody broke a neck or something. Like, there was.
Did she do like a belly to Bayley off the top or something?
Oh, we had that, but like, when she came off the ropes or the side, like, she came out of the side ropes or something. Like, I don't remember what it was. It was.
Oh, didn't they do like something into like a code breaker? Wasn't that
match? Yeah. Yeah. It was.
It looked real nasty.
Yeah.
There's Charlotte picks up.
All right, so are we giving points for creativity and execution, man, or just execution?
I don't know. Oh, God. I don't know. You're right. I'm having a hard time on this.
I could go either way.
I think the women's match was better than the Zayn Neville match.
Yes. Okay, so you're exactly where I'm at.
I think that Cena Lesnar was a bigger moment for like the, you know, a build up for a character for the next year, like, or whatever. I think that's like, that was kind of a huge, that was a really one of the ballsiest writing things they did. It having him be Undertaker was kind of a big deal, but it also like that seemed like, okay, they're going to do it with someone. You know, Lesnar made sense probably for a few different reasons, whatever, but if they planned this, I don't know, like, at that point, but I thought that was, like, really, that was really cool. Having that women's match be as good as it was, I think for a division that has such crap matches week in and week out for the main roster, that one to me was like, hey, look, here are these...
Here's what you could be doing.
...performers that, yeah... like that are, you know, like look, there's good women's wrestling that's happening right now. And that was like the ultimate showcase for it. And I think that's probably overall like more important.
I think if that match happened,
all right,
on a WWE pay-per-view,
it's one of
the craziest things we've ever seen.
Yeah, because I guess that's the thing that holds me back is, like, are they ballsy enough to do that on the main roster? Like, because when that happens, then that trumps this match. But
yeah, it does.
If you had some people have the best wrestling match of all time,
and they did it
in a room with no crowd, like, it's still the best wrestling match, right? I mean, it's still...
Right. All right. Women win.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Charlotte, Sasha, Bayley, and also
Becky Lynch.
Oh, man. But I had so much fun doing that SummerSlam match.
Yeah.
All right. We got one left.
The fact that we had a bunch of really good matches, you know, that's kind of one of those everyone wins categories.
Yeah.
All right. Superstar of the year. Let's run them down. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Ziggler, Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. Sasha and Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn.
Neville. Owens, Alex Riley.
Eddie Rye.
Anybody else from the main roster? Bray.
Yeah.
For sure.
Orton? No.
If we're going to put Kevin Owens on the list, Finn Balor needs to be on there too.
And you can put Brian on it, even though he's not going to win it.
No, that's fine.
He missed most of the year, but he was in a good part of the best pay-per-view, so.
Tyler Breeze.
I mean, I would put Cena on here, too.
Yeah. Very different Cena. All right.
Roman Reigns.
Big Show. He's in a lot of stuff.
Come on. Come on. No, I mean, that's, yeah.
Stardust.
What? Yeah. Yeah. Stardust was good.
I mean, we have. What's in there? We have the five on this list.
They're about to give Roman Reigns the title, and he's not on. He's not even like 20th on our list of superstars of the year.
Triple H.
Yeah.
Blue Tisa. No. Okay.
Randy.
You can put Orton. RKO out of nowhere. Okay.
So this is five deep? Is that what
we'll do five for. Which I should have done. I should have done five for the match.
I think.
Can we still do that?
Ziggler, pull Ziggler out of there for Sami Zayn.
Hold on. Let's eliminate people. Orton.
Can we lock some people Tyler into? Bruce.
Yes. Yeah.
Seth Rollins.
Rollins.
I'd put Lesnar as a lock as well.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I really want Steph in there, but
I think Steph can be in there.
Is Bray Wyatt in there?
I don't know. Who are we not talking about? I don't think Charlotte makes it.
No. I think Sammy's in the he's
in the conversation.
The conversation.
Neville's not there yet.
Sasha's in the conversation. If there was a women's superstar of the women's year, it would be Sasha and Steph, between Sasha and Stephanie. So,
yeah. Owens.
No, too short.
And same with Balor, I would say.
And same with Brian.
Sorry.
Yeah, but Brian just didn't have. He wasn't.
No Cena either. Fuck him. Yeah.
I'm surprised you cut Ziggler that quick. So we've got our little final eight here. Rollins, Ambrose, Ziggler, Lesnar, Sasha Banks, Sami Zayn, Bray Wyatt, Stephanie McMahon. I think Sasha's going to have her time.
Steph was great, but she's not. This is category's not really for her.
Yeah.
What category? Where could I give her award?
Like, you can talk about her here, but she's best executive of the year. I think you put Sammy in for Ziggler, and that's my top five.
And Bray's had a big year, aside from them not giving him a
match. Yeah, but he also disappeared for a couple months, too.
He was consistently really good in all of his matches, and he cut great promos all the time.
You're right.
I'd be okay with Sammy and Bray and bumping Sasha. So I still think Sasha will have her time.
Yeah, I think, and
she came on strong the last half, but
right, kind of through the same time period as some of the people we just cut for that very reason.
You're right.
Do you want to cut Ziggler?
Cut Ziggler.
Yep.
And Sasha.
Okay. Yep.
Like, they're 6 and 7, you know.
I like that. So, Sami Zayn's been at it for a little while, and it kind of felt like he was kind of getting his credit, you know, finally.
All right. So, our final five are Rollins, Ambrose, Zayn, Lesnar, Wyatt. Who are we not considering?
Anybody but Rollins?
I think it's between Rollins, Lesnar for me.
I think it's just Rollins. for the amount of work that he did with Evolution or with Shield and Solo, like he was the only one of the Shield who didn't get hurt or didn't have a movie to film. He worked like every pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. He did incredible work on the microphone, and we didn't expect him to do it.
And he's an amazing fucking heel. And he hit the distance he's come with that.
The perfect person the Authority could have picked to join that group. Ambrose does not fit with that group, even though he would have been the better heel
out of the gate
for all intents and purposes, you know.
Yeah, he would have been better out of the gate, but especially where Rollins is now. When Rollins on the mic now.
Rollins, yeah.
All right.
His finisher is great for his character as well.
God, and he did when he did it to Orton. It was awesome. We did it to
when he did it to Ambrose on a fake concrete block. It was
God.
Awesome.
That was great. He never blew any spots.
Nope.
And he had some of the most memorable moments.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
The elbow, the
chair superplex.
Yep.
Curb stomps.
Yeah. I mean, we kept going back to
balcony.
Every time we talked about a Shield match, it was the Rollins spot. And every match he's in, it's the Rollins spot, unless it's,
payback off the set. He sold everyone's clotheslines, like it, you know, very Ziggler like in his
that front backflip thing he does.
Yep.
I have no arguments. I mean, Lesnar made me a fan this year, but that's more a positioning thing than a personal thing. Although he just has, like I said, when he really sticks his tongue out in matches, he has little character moments that I appreciated this year.
Well, can we at least put / Heyman there with him?
Yeah.
Because he needs his due as well.
Yep.
But he's kind of in the same boat as Stephanie, but he can be with Brock.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, if Triple H had done more this year. Maybe you throw in Stephanie there too, but
yeah,
I like it. So Seth Rollins is our superstar of the year. Runners up: Dean Ambrose, Sami Zayn, Brock Lesnar, Bray Wyatt. So I'll be curious to see how 2015 goes for us if we stick through all these other pay per views. And you know, we talked only about WWE today, so I'm kind of curious, like what else should we be watching? Like, are you guys interested in watching more? What do you think you'll pay attention to?
I think everybody should watch the New Japan pay-per-views. I think you can subscribe to, they have a network too, or you know, there are other ways to watch their pay-per-views on the internet. They also have a show that shows classic matches on Access TV for New Japan. There was a Prince Devitt match on, I think, last week's episode that was pretty good. I forget who it was against, though. Or a couple weeks ago, actually. But that's really good. Ring of Honor's always good. Although there's rumors of a couple of defections to the WWE that could be exciting, like Samoa Joe and the Briscoes.
Yep. They build out that NXT roster.
And then I haven't watched much of Lucha Underground. You might be able
Lucha's
to
see so that different. More. That'll be the reason I'd say. I mean, the matches are, they seem to be more stunt matches than anything, but the storytelling's really cool. It's like, if you like Robert Rodriguez,
they take time to tell the stories.
Cool.
I want Hood Slam to be televised.
Cole missed it by day, he was out there during it.
I was there. I didn't know what was going on. I could have gone to it.
Oh man! All right, I think that's going to do it for our first yearly awards here on PotatoBumps.com. So we'll have this up on iTunes. You can catch it on horriblenight.com as well as Potato Bumps. But and then we will regroup again here a week later after WrestleMania to kind of recap that show and probably hit major pay per views and major NXT events going forward as we can. So hope you enjoy the show. Subscribe and tell your friends, and check out PotatoBumps.com for our upcoming predictions and how we're going to fix WWE on a monthly basis.
The hottest wrestling content on the internet.
The most unique wrestling content. Opinions about bookings.
It's hot. It's the hottest.
Yeah. And plus animated GIFs. So, Josh, Cole, thanks for hanging out today. Took a little longer than I expected, but it was a good show.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys.
Great. Enjoy your WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yes.